everybody. Welcome to the Overseas Connection, episode 156. Today is February 21st, 2012, and we are the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. That's Gaming for the Elderly, and I'm your host, Greg DeLacy, and with me this week, a full room. My God, it is crowded. I'm going to start overseas with the UK Brits. Let's go, Mr. Richard Primrose, first and foremost.
Fusradar, everybody. It is I. Skuldugada.
Oh, God. And also in the room, to his immediate left, back and a little to the center, Mr. Mike Chin.
First of all, right back, everybody, and welcome to the Overseas Connection. Mike Chin here, all the way from Wolverhampton, England, in the UK. Great to be here, Greg, on Pancake Day, Shrove Tuesday. How are you, sir?
I am good on this fat Tuesday. Oh, yeah.
I feel really fat today. I really do.
You should. You should. Because standing right behind you, we can't even see him. He's so skinny. Mr. Richard Webster joining the podcast this week.
Hello, all. Mustard jaw to you guys.
Mustard jaw!
Yeah. it's Richard Webster, a.k.a. Big Bad Daddy.
Hang on.
Yes?
Did you used to be on the show, Richard?
I may have been on one or two.
Right.
Just a few.
Yeah. Yeah.
He only comes out now when it's self-serving.
Yeah.
That's basically what it points.
Like, and, when I'll be asked.
Yeah.
I've heard he narrates books as well. On the side.
I also star in adult movies. I do a bit of everything.
Good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, but yeah, it was a Steam code. Yay.
And there we go. Moving on back over onto the U.S. shores, Mr. Christopher Matthew.
I don't know any fancy words in a language that I don't actually speak, so I'll just say, hello, my lovelies.
Perfect. We talk video games in this podcast, and by the pure loveliness of Mr. Webster being here, you know we're going to be talking at some point about RPGs. So I'm pretty sure that's why Richard wanted to come on the show.
I only ever come on when there's either something new about Skyrim, or something new about RPGs, or something new about PCs, or something that involves all three.
And I think we're going to give you a little bit of all three today.
Ooh, yeah. Foreshadowing.
Ooh.
Hmm. Well, with that said, let's dive into what we've been playing.
What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What you've been playing? What have you been playing?
All right. What we've been playing. Holy smokes, this is gonna get ugly really fast, I can already tell. Mr. Webster.
In the bonds of,
yes.
Holy moly!
You can ignore him, and why don't you tell us, what have you played lately?
Well, I've been quite busy growing up the last couple of weeks, so I've not been, I've much time to play much.
You have grown up. I just want to say, I saw your new picture off of Skype, and I was just like, who is this strapping young lad?
Yeah, well, you know what they say, you know, once you hit 26, that's when you start growing.
Apparently, puberty kicked in the whole nine yards.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, puberty.
Been playing Skyrim.
Been playing Skyrim. might as well just lead with that. The construction kit was released, or the creation kit, as it's called, was released a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
Since release, people have been making mods for the game without the creation kit, which is what you use to make mods. They're just geniuses, they code. But now it's come out, and now there's thousands of mods that people have made. And
Rich, can I ask you a question? We know what the clever people have been doing. What have you been doing with that creation kit?
I'm actually working on a little mod myself, but I don't want to give any spoiler alerts.
Don't worry, man. I won't play it.
Nude mod?
No, well, there's plenty of new mods already. You don't need to... My God. Some of them are really detailed as well. I'm not going to go into it, but some of them high res and all that shit. Some shadows out there, I tell you. So I've been, you know, putting some mods in there. You know, people have made houses, and you go and get the house, or rideable saber cats, so you can have a saber cat like a horse.
I like it.
That's I thought you were saying, like, ride a bull, like someone had put a rodeo in the game. I was like, that's awesome! Sorry.
No,
that would be pretty awesome.
Rideable mammoths, I've seen. Rideable giant mammoths, they look like Oliphants from Lord of the Rings. Huge. Yeah, there's loads of things. What else have I been playing? Red Dead Redemption. Got my Xbox back off the missus, so I've been playing some Red Dead Redemption and just wish it would be on PC. And you know what I played? Well, I lent off my brother, but I didn't play it. It was Modern Warfare 3.
Okay.
Because I've been playing a lot of Battlefield 3 as well on PC, and I just don't know if it's going to compete. Like, I don't know if I should waste my time playing it. What do you reckon?
Well, here's my thing. They're so completely different. I mean, yes, they're both first-person shooters, but, I mean, Battlefield 3, it's more about the vehicle combat and the big, you know, open areas. And Modern Warfare 3, you know, it's all, you know, not single player, but, you know, first-person, small quarters, you know, close-quarter combat, infantry combat. That's what I was really trying to get at in the first place.
Yeah.
So I could say on a whole at this point, but I'm not going to.
Lol.
It is decidedly different, though. You can't really compare the two up.
Yeah.
They're different experiences.
See, that's what I'm thinking. Like, because I really like Black Ops. I think is probably the best one in the series. And I know they're fun, but because I'm so into Battlefield, especially with the 64 player, I just don't know if it's worth my time. Would you say just give it a go anyway?
It's not going to hurt you to try.
Yeah. Is it still like chaos, like Modern Warfare 2, where there was like a million things in the sky at once and stuff like that?
It definitely can get that way. It definitely
it's
can.
It's not as bad as that, though.
Hey. No, it is not. And, hey.
I mean, with the stuff also, in the sky.
Right. There's not nearly as much.
I'm not saying
stuff
it's a bad game. God, Primrose gets so protective over anything he likes.
Hey.
I like it, therefore I have to defend it. You know what? Other people cannot like it. Dark Souls sucks.
What are you talking about? Hey,
what?
Richard Webster.
Yes.
You know how you were saying about chaotic and so on? How does it play with 64 players on a PC? Is it seem crowded? Do you tend to get big crossfires that you can't get out of and stuff?
Did you just say, is it seem crowded?
No. Does it seem crowded?
I thought you said, is it?
I'm going to assume that you've... at least most of you have played the Back to Kharkan pack.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Right. On 64 player, right, on Wake Island, if you've got one side of the island and they've got the other, and the only way to get there is by the land, because no one's going to get in a boat and go to the other side, are they? Because they're just asking to be raped, basically. That is quite chaotic. It's not like 32 versus 32, because there's always a couple of people flying around and a couple of people looking at the graphics in the corner. So let's say 25. There's 25 guys shooting 25 guys in the little strip between the airfield and, like, North Base or something. And it kind of gets... You get those games where you either don't do anything but die because there's so much going on. And then you get those games where you get, like, 30 kills, 2 deaths, because there's just so much stuff going on. It just, and especially with the custom servers, so they can increase, like, you can have 1,000 ticket matches. So 1,000 ticket 64 player Wake Island will last an hour, maybe an hour and a half. So it's, you know, stretched out. But it lets you, like, because you'll go into a game, I don't know how you play, but I'll go, right, okay, I'm going to be an engineer now, this game. I'm going to be an engineer, I'm going to lie down behind tanks, I'm going to, you know, do all this. And sometimes your plan doesn't work and you think, shit, I should have just gone, you know, assault from the start. Why did I do this to myself? You know, put myself through this pain. But with the long games, gives you a chance to sort of switch and think, right, I'm going to be a jet guy now. I got my first kill in the jet today as well. I'm not very good at flying jets.
Does that whole...
most people aren't.
EA integration work really well as well? Because I heard good things about that. You know, like for getting straight into the servers and stuff from, you know, the stats page, what we just see as a stats page, but obviously you guys can be joining games and stuff, can't you?
No, yeah, I think it's really good. the only time is when it's bad is if the map has filled up before you've since refreshing. Do you know what I mean? So you'll do a server search and you'll do like, okay, I want to play on Wake Island, 64 player, go, and it'll bring up them all. And there'll be one and they'll have like 60 out of 64 players. And then you'll click it to go in, and then it'll say game full. So that's a problem. But apart from that, I think it's really good. You can, like, the way you invite a friend as well, you drag and drop on the website, on the webpage, you drag your friend and drop them into the game, and it'll invite them.
Oh, and, that's cool.
It is really good. And then as soon as you finish a game, on the left, there's like a taskbar at the bottom of the webpage, and it's got like the game updates and stuff. And on the left, it comes up with a battle report every time you finish a game, so you can... And you can also minimize the game. You press Alt and Enter, and it takes it out of full screen. And you can, you know, while you're waiting to spawn, you can just go back to the web page and check your stats and then go back. And it is really good. It's really good.
Yeah. Cool.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Excellent.
Any other questions for the PC guy? What Steam? How does Steam work?
Well, I think we'll have additional questions about PC stuff in just a minute here.
Okay. Just want to throw this out there, guys. It's really good to be around you people again, and it gives me goosebumps just to know that I'm sat in the same virtual room as you folk.
Yeah, that's I'll soon wear off.
That has something to do with Primrose not showering, I think.
So is it the PC thing? Is it still popular? No. Still going on. Battlefield.
You mean... Yes. Yeah.
Is it pretty much full every time you go on there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Have you played Modern Warfare 3 online? You said you haven't... Right, you've not done that yet.
No.
Okay. I'll be curious to see which one would seem the most packed.
Modern Warfare 3 is going to be more packed because there are... How many would you say? 60 million consoles sat at home.
Yeah,
and about 25 of them bought Modern Warfare 3, yeah, and only 10 million people bought Battlefield, and that's across all platforms. So
I think Battlefield is more of a PC game now. And to be honest, I don't like PC gaming because it's dumb. But right, like the only time that I want to play Battlefield on the PC is when I see all those videos that EA put up on Facebook or whatever, when they show you some guy like flying over a jet and then jumping into an elephant and then blowing up a Seahawk, all that cool stuff. That really makes me want to play it on the PC, but I don't know. I just imagine that I'd die quite a lot on Battlefield 3 on the Xbox, so I would imagine that I'd die even more on the PC. I don't think I would do that well.
You see, the way I see PC gaming, I mean, it's not that this way for every game, but you know how, like, you've got your computer and you, like, you customize it how you want, and you've got your desktop, and you can have windows open different places and this and that, and that's kind of how... Like a lot of PC games are now, like Skyrim and Battlefield 3, it all seems like it's tailored to you, customized how you want and stuff. And it's something that you never really get on the Xbox because it's like, okay, this is the service, this is how it's going to be, and that's it. And you never feel like it's sort of, your experience will be the same as someone else's,
Mm-hmm.
Whereas,
mm-hmm.
like I could talk to someone about Battlefield 3 and they will have never played on a certain map. Because, like I said, when you can up the game time for so long, and because you get your favourite maps and you can just search for those maps, there's people that have probably not played half the Battlefield 3 maps because they've played a few, liked them, and then just stick with them. So it's all kind of different. And like Skyrim as well, like the amount of mods that are out now, there's people playing with like 50 mods. No two people are going to have the same game experience now, and Skyrim's massive. It is, you guys know, on the Xbox.
Right.
It's huge enough. So imagine if you get, 10,000 people making their own shit for it, and it's just,
Yeah, my thing with PC gaming, I always think it's going to be this fantastic experience, and I know for people like yourself, Mr. Webster, it is. For me, it always ends up being quite the opposite. One way or another, it ends up becoming just this task. It doesn't feel, and that could just be the fact that I just don't tinker around with my computer enough anymore, but I always feel like the moment I get a PC game and I start playing it, and then I'm starting having to update stuff, then the graphics card needs firmware updates, it all just kind of goes downhill.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's kind of why I've avoided the PC gaming scene for the past, 6, 7 years.
It's a lot more work. It is. A lot more goes into it. Like, you know, every couple of weeks a new driver will come out for your graphics card or a beta driver, and you'll find out, like with Rage, that the drivers are actually being released incorrectly and they don't work with the game, and you get all blue textures and you can't play the game. And then there are more headaches, but I think...
See, now you're talking my kind of experience.
Yeah. See, the rewards sort of outweigh the, you know, the downsides, I think. Depends really what you like. I don't know.
You're bringing up some fair points. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I know when you dial it in, the experience on PC is unmatched.
And there are games now that most games now work with 360 controller. Skyrim does. And you can HDMI cable your PC to your TV and just sit there with your pad. You know, I play Just Cause 2 like that. I don't play Just Cause 2 on my screen, but I'll play Battlefield on my screen because you need the mouse. But, you know, Just Cause 2 or Kingdoms of Amalur or Magicka, you just sit there on your couch with your controller hooked up to your TV. You know, it's PC gaming, but you're doing it, like you know, on your couch.
Okay. Hey, one last question for you on the PC front, and that is OnLive. Have you dabbled at all in that?
No, I've not even thought to do it, to be honest. I've always assumed it's still, you know, you go to play Sonic and it'll go, "Sit!" and then buffer.
Well, here's my, I would love for you at some point in the near future, go check out OnLive, and, you know, being a bona fide PC gamer, I would love to kind of get your take on how it compared up, and if you think it's a viable substitution.
Yeah, I will. I'll give it a little, whoa. Yeah, I'll give it a go. Sorry, the trailer just popped up and deafened me. I've got my headphones on, so it deafened me. Oh, on live on your iPad, eh?
Yeah.
Interesting.
All over the place. They're making a big push. But all right.
Okay.
Rich, anything else on your end?
No, just...
Have you played Witcher 2, Rich?
Go Vikings. Witcher 2?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
He's a PC gamer. He has to. It's like part of their bylaws.
Yeah.
Excuse me, do you play PC games?
Yes.
Well, here's a copy of Witcher 2.
That's what it's like. It's like you spend so much money on a piece of kit to play games, and it's like they give you Witcher 2. They're like, you know, you've just spent quite a lot of money. Just play this shit. You know, make it worth it. And to be honest, I wasn't really that impressed about Witcher 2. A lot of people are like, oh my god, people are like, the ambient occlusion's fantastic and the way the textures stream is amazing, but...
Order, order! The agenda today is Webster does not like The Witcher 2.
I'm not a fan.
The vote against him to go away from the PC community, and the vote for...
Shit, I've just
Webster
realized...
Webster is gone!
I'm dishing, like, the game that PC gamers usually like. Yes, you can't get Witcher 2 on Mac settings. And, you know...
And then you're loading it and you show it to somebody. He's like, look at that. Look at PC gaming. He's better. And they go, oh, yeah. Is that on the Xbox as well? No, you idiot.
See, Two Worlds is the exception because it's, you know,
we don't talk about Two Worlds.
The weird one. Two Worlds is like, you know,
we don't talk about Two Worlds because Greg is really short of a visit from some of my guys with blow torches and lead pipes.
Because he made you buy it day one.
Hey, Webster was there in the same camp with me.
In fact,
had he been on the podcast, he would have been encouraging you as well.
I owned Two Worlds 2 before anyone, because it came out, you see, like 6 months before.
Really, it's his fault, Chris.
Yeah.
If we were to trace the root of the problem, it would actually go through me and then bypass and go right to Rich.
You could probably trace it right back to Video Game Jux and Two Worlds 1. And I probably had some hand in you buying Two Worlds 1 as well. You could probably blame that on me.
It's possible. It's possibly.
No, but with respect to Witcher 2, it's all right, but it's nothing special, and I'm not really a fan of Polish RPGs. Thanks.
Okay.
You know, it's quite cool, but when I walk around a meadow and I've got my sword and my shield, I don't want to hear... I want to hear sexy orchestra music, and that's what Polish people seem to like. I'm not into that shit, so... Yeah.
So the music soundtrack, not your favorite cup of tea.
I like listening to it, but not when I'm playing my games. When I'm playing my games, I want, you know, fucking, what's his name now? I don't know. Some composer from some famous film. Can't think now.
Michael
Zimmer.
Okay. Gitto or something. Janito. Janina. Some of that.
All right, we're going to transition away from Mr. Webster over to another PC gamer, Mr. Christopher Matthew. What's this nonsense about?
Well, I don't really call myself a PC gamer yet, but
yet is probably the key word.
I'm not abandoning my Xbox 360 anytime soon, because let's be honest, most of my online buddies are on the Xbox, so you know that's where I'm going to go. Anyway, my list for the week: Forza 4, Battlefield 3, of course. Yes, Mike Chen, really again, because they're both awesome and I love to play them. Played a lot of Halo Reach over the weekend and a little bit last night. Good fun. I have finished all the achievements in the game, in the original game, right, not including DLC, except for ranking up. So now I'm just ranking up. Kingdoms of Amalur, I really can't say enough good about that one. Maybe we'll talk about it more when it's Greg's turn. And I for nostalgia's sake, I downloaded XCOM UFO Defense.
Excellent.
From 1993. And how did I do that, you might ask? Well, over the weekend, we had a long weekend with President's Day being a national holiday yesterday, and I had Friday off. So over the weekend, I got together with a buddy of mine who has a bit of know-how, and I built myself a gaming PC.
Damn, son. Really?
Can I point out one thing, Chris?
You can.
You probably didn't need to build a PC to play XCOM UFO Defense.
Probably not. You're absolutely right.
You probably could have played that on an emulator on your Nokia 3210.
If you know, I haven't been able to. So I did some searching.
Is this the new one, Chris, or is it the old one?
No, this is the old one. This is the original.
All right. Yeah, yeah.
I did a bit of searching because I thought certainly someone would have ported XCOM UFO Defense to the iPad, right? Because the iPad could run it.
Yeah. No.
But I haven't found it. So, anyway, here's kind of where this came from. I decided I want to redo. I know this is like 8 years old, but I decided that rather than using a cable set-top box, I want to get a TV card and run the cable through the computer so that I can record the videos on there. Because then I can get them into more portable formats, if you will.
Okay.
So I can, you know, so I can take my DVR and convert things over to my iPad to take them with me to the gym or whatever. So I was like, well, if I'm going to do that, I'm going to need a computer with some graphical prowess. Probably going to want a motherboard with surround sound capability. And so after I got that all built, I was like, well, I'm going to want a big hard drive. And it kind of specced out like a gaming PC. I was like, well, what the heck? May as well build it to play games too. So I haven't really played a lot of games on it yet. Someone's clapping. Thank you. I connected it to my television and I bought a wireless mouse and keyboard, although I bought like really cheap wireless mouse and keyboard. So, probably won't be playing Battlefield 3 with those anytime soon because the response time isn't very good. That's like, I could see myself playing some RPGs on the PC, but one of the reasons that I switched to console gaming from PC gaming about 10 years ago was I just could never get my head around what is it, ASWK or ASWZ movement controls?
Oh, yeah.
I know that's, like, awesome if you can do it, but I just was never able to get my head around it. That's one of the reasons why I switched to console gaming vice PC gaming. So as awesome as Battlefield 3 might be on the PC, probably won't be picking that one up. Probably get The Witcher, maybe Skyrim, you know, some RPG games on there. And real-time strategy games, because I love real-time strategy games, and they just never work on the console.
True.
So XCOM UFO Defense, yeah. It's just as awesome as I remember it being, but it sucks. Because it's just – I mean, I shouldn't say it sucks. The gameplay is very deep, as it was in 1993. But it's – you know, it's just really – the graphics are really, really dated. Of course, 20 years old, but I still enjoy it. It's you know, it's got a lot of layers to it in terms of strategy. So, good fun.
Good. Was it a case of rose tinted glasses, or was it actually all right to play again?
No, I actually was enjoying playing it again. You know, I didn't enjoy it quite as much as I thought I would, but it was. $5 on Steam, so I was like, ah, what the heck, $5. You know,
I've wasted $5 on sillier things.
Steam's fantastic for that, Chris, especially RPG stuff. You'll get like, I don't know, like Skyrim, I think was like £20 over the week, over the Christmas. £20,
yeah. You know? I wish I had bought it over Christmas because it's back to $60.
I've picked up so many games on Steam just as I'll play them in a year, but because they were like Overlord 1 and 2. I liked the first one and I bought them both for like £2 in the summer sales. I thought, yeah, for £2, I'll play them one day. All the Grand Theft Auto games ever made, Fiver, including 4 and the Lost and Damned and all that. Alien vs. Predator, Fiver.
Let me ask you a quick question. Yeah. Do you use a wireless Xbox controller with your PC or a wired?
Wired.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cheaper because you've got to buy a wireless receiver for your PC.
Right, which costs as much as the controller.
Exactly, so you just buy a wired pad. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do some rearranging. I've got two front USB ports, but those are right now taken up by my wireless receiver for mouse and keyboard.
You buy yourself a USB hub.
Yeah.
Get one of those.
Well, there's like 8 USB ports on the back of the motherboard, so it's not like I'm short for USB ports. I'm just short for front USB ports.
Oh, yeah.
Probably just get a USB extension to put the wired controller into the back of the motherboard.
Well, that's what I did for my... Because I watch movies on my PC... hooked up to my TV, and I've bought like a Windows Media Center remote control with infrared receiver, and I've got an extension cable going from my PC, which is in one corner of the room, to my TV in the other, and I can sit on my couch watching films, like downloaded and love film and all that shit with a remote control on my PC. It's all there. I know you can do that on the Xbox as well, but, you know.
I have the Xbox Media Remote, and I think that one will also control a Windows Media Center.
Yeah, you just need an IR receiver, and it'll work. Yeah.
Sweet.
Now that we've covered PC Corner...
Hold on a minute. Before you carry on. Chris.
Rich.
Out of interest, how much did it cost to set up?
I brought the whole thing in for about $1,000. But I spec'd it out pretty high end. So I got an i7 processor, and I got a 1 gig video card, 16 gigs of RAM, 1.5 terabyte hard drive, and a CD... DVD read writer.
Which video card did you get?
It is a...
Did you go NVIDIA? Radeon, yeah.
I didn't go with NVIDIA. I went with ATI.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it's 4500 series, but I don't remember right off the top of my head.
Ah, right.
But it's a DDR3. So, you know, I went with DDR3 RAM and DDR3 video, so that was kind of what bumped the price up a little bit.
Did you go 2600K or was it i7 previous gen processor? The ones that were like extremely expensive.
2600K.
Ah, yeah, yeah.
It's like not the top of the line, but the next one down.
No, i7. Did you say i7? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, i7 2600K is the best processor you can buy. It's eight core.
Yeah. Well, I didn't get like the $1,000 one. I got the one that's less than that.
No, yeah. Because there's one up, and then AMD's new processor come out not long ago, the FX processor, but it just wasn't as good. It was...
Rich.
Yeah.
Look.
This isn't...
The most important question we have to ask is, did you get the razzle-a-dazzler, flim-flam, flippity-dibbidod thing? If you got that, he's all good.
I did get that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. Probably got that from Steam on a sale.
It sounds like a very... awesome PC, Chris. I must say, everything you threw out there was very impressive. I kind of glazed over a little bit at 16 gigs of RAM.
Sorry,
because I can't even fathom that. Well, no, it is awesome. It is awesome.
My response is probably a little bit more information than Rich was looking for. But you know, when you say $1,000 for a desktop PC, that sounds like a lot. But if you spend $1,000 on Hewlett Packard's website, you know you're going to get second rate. Bits and parts, you know?
No. $1,000 on a custom-built PC is either going to be horrible because you overpaid, or you were very smart and, you know, prudent with your money spent, and you probably got yourself an awesome PC. It depends on how knowledgeable you are.
You know, luckily, I had a buddy of mine who's got a lot of PC building experience, and he helped me choose the bits and pieces. So...
Cool.
Much easier to put together than I thought it would be. I mean,
isn't it?
Computers, you know, the nice thing about computers is everything only fits in one place.
They've gotten so much better about that. I will say it has evolved tenfold since back in the day.
It's almost modular. You can almost just pop things out and pop things in. It's almost as easy as that. It's so close to being.
Dare say that's kind of the console future. You talk about upgradable. You just make everything modular.
Yeah, you can upgrade consoles as well. That I reckon eventually it'll all go there. You know,
I don't know that consoles will ever get there. And the reason I say that is a console really is just a cheap computer with a cheap PC with a very specific operating system flashed onto it. So I don't know that consoles will ever get to upgradability, because how they make their money is making you buy a new console every few years. Well, no, they don't. They make their money.
I agree with Chris. I don't think consoles will.
Yeah, I agree as well.
I do agree to an extent. However, right now we're already seeing it with the upgradable hard drives. And can you imagine if they got it to a point where they said, hey, we can upgrade the video card, CPU.
I think that's your cutoff point.
Plug it in, plug it out.
The reason why people play consoles is because they're dumb, including me. I'm including me in this. Right, and I don't want to fuck around with a piece of hardware where I have to change it. And a hard drive I can grasp because they're quite general. Right. People deal with hard drives. But not like video cards. I think that's the switch off.
But when we're talking modular, it's going to be as easy as popping your hard drive off and popping it back on.
Boys. Can I just say, business plan-wise, it's not what they want to do. And I'll also say this. I read an article this week where they were talking about, you're talking about PS3s just having the ability to switch out drives. You can do that with hybrid solid-state drives. And they're saying that the people that are doing this switch get better performance from things like Skyrim and other games that have had all the problems and stuff. That's not acceptable. It wouldn't be acceptable for, you know, the gaming community and stuff like that. So for their business plan, they want everybody to be working on the same level so they can stream out the games for their 10-year plans or whatever, and then make you buy another console at the end of it.
But the thing is, if you look at the PS3, how much that cost when that launched in the UK, I think it was £550 with no games.
Yeah.
If the PlayStation 4 is any more, I don't see anybody fucking buying one. Nobody's going to go out and spend £750 on a console when for the same price you can get a better PC.
I hope Sony learned their lesson from that, because when they first brought the PlayStation out, PlayStation 3 at £550 or $700, they didn't sell any of them. Mm-hmm. And they quickly realized that console gamers weren't going to pay that kind of money for a console, and the prices came down in a hurry. Mm-hmm. I kind of agree with Mike. One of the reasons that I do like console gaming is when I go to the store and I pick up that green DVD case that says Xbox 360 on the top of it, I know that I'm going to go home and I'm going to put it in the drive and I'm going to be playing.
That's true.
There's no worrying about updating drivers and, you know, like I know with the PC I'm going to have to do some fidgeting with it, and I'm okay with that because I got my Xbox where I don't have to do any fidgeting.
But you see, when you get to the stage now where once you get a handle of it, once you've been doing PC gaming a lot over a few months, you'll know exactly what your hardware is. So you'll be on Amazon shopping for PC games and you'll go, okay, system requirements, yep, bang, 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 easy, got it, buy it, and you'll put it in and you'll go, right, okay, it's not worked for whatever reason, it's crashed, I know why, I've probably not updated my drivers, bang, 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 done. And that's it. The more you use it, the easier it gets. And I'll admit, when I first got my PC, it worked fantastic, but some games were really dodgy, and it took a little, you know, a couple of days to figure out what's what and why they're going dodgy.
I think it was as simple as all of that, Rich, but I just look at, one example. I tried to play – so this is not on my current PC. This is on a laptop. I tried to play Fallout 3 on a laptop, mm-hmm. and according to the specs, I had everything I needed to play Fallout 3 – double what I needed to play Fallout 3. Mm-hmm. And when I put it in, it didn't work, so I did exactly what you did, and I updated all my drivers, and it still wouldn't run. And this being a laptop, I wasn't going to go crack open the case, especially since it's an Apple laptop, and I think if you crack open the case, there's a monkey in there that smacks you in the head with a hammer. I was just kind of like, shit, I don't know what to do now. So I never played Fallout 3 on my laptop because I couldn't get it running.
I can probably tell you why now in 3 seconds. And
well,
go ahead.
We can take that conversation offline.
Make me feel stupid. Go ahead.
No. It's basically because it's a laptop. It's got procedures built in so that it doesn't overheat. Right.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't have the space inside to accumulate a lot of heat like a desktop does. So
yeah.
It has things like EPU, which is where if the CPU reaches a certain degree temperature, it can go up to 100 degrees and still work fine. But if it goes over a certain threshold, it'll actually drop the clock speed down to manage the heat. And then your fans will kick in and all that. And Windows power management, because it's a laptop, it doesn't want to kill your battery. So all of that included probably amounted to it. Not saying it did, but that's
and
probably what it was.
The monkey would come out and smack you.
Yeah.
All right.
So are you saying
conversation about PCs than I thought we were going to get into?
I know it was far, far deeper.
Are you saying words that are in the right order here? Like, because I don't know if I understand everything that's going on.
Mike, no talking.
Full shudder.
What?
Shudder.
We are moving on.
Mustard jar.
So, just
is there any particular game you wanted to talk about?
Well, I thought maybe we'd talk about Kingdoms of Amalur, but
I think we can.
Before we move on, I just want to throw it out to the community. Rich mentioned some good games, Richard Webster, that is, but I'm new to the PC gaming world. So if you've got an idea for something that I must experience that's on Steam for cheap, toss me an email at cpmatthew@gmail.com.
Peggle.
Peggle.
Reach out to Gary. Real Defoe, he's part of our community, and he's a PC gamer. Reach out to him, man.
Okay.
Get a dinner date going, you know.
Yeah. So, we spent a lot of time talking about PC gaming, and I really only spent a couple hours on it since I built it. I've spent a lot of time playing Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning.
Yes.
I was thinking today, like I was like, all I've said is how good this game is. There's got to be something wrong with it. Yes, Rich.
No, I just want to say that I can't believe you people even compared this to Skyrim last episode. Just can't believe it.
You can easily compare it to Skyrim.
No, you can compare it to Fable. Nothing like Skyrim.
You can compare it to Skyrim. You can compare it to Fable.
That's like comparing Forza to Dirt. They're not the same.
You know what? I'm going to kick you off this podcast.
Come on, man.
I can't agree with you here, Rich, because... Now, I haven't played Skyrim, and I'm sure it's huge and massive and expansive. My only basis of comparison is Oblivion and Fallout. But it's got all the same things. You know, you can make your own armor, you can make your own potions, you can make your own gems, you can make your own combos. It's all very customizable. The world is massive.
Do you know why?
Because it was made by one of the guys that made Morrowind.
Exactly, and Oblivion.
It's got okay.
But I played it, and it didn't play like Skyrim. It played like Fable.
Compared to Skyrim and Morrowind.
There were elements there, though, I will admit, Greg. The world design and the mechanics in the game were very much like an Elder Scrolls game, but the gameplay was Fable. It was just Fable. So the swimming animation was stolen from Fable.
Well, the swimming animation was stolen from Fable, but that's one minor thing. I think the combat mechanics, although very reminiscent of Fable, are... what Fable should have been.
Yeah, the combat is fantastic.
Better than Fable.
Yeah.
And the combat, it being fair on the comparisons here, is nothing like the combat in Skyrim.
No.
It is far better.
Assuming the combat in Skyrim is similar to the combat in Oblivion, I have to agree with you.
The combat in Kingdoms of Amalur would be if Bethesda were based in Tokyo. That's what the combat in Skyrim would have been like.
Can I just say the combat in Dark Souls would piss over the both of them?
Fuck off, Dark Souls is shit. Name one award it's won. I'm not one for, you know, going with the masses, but name an award it's won.
It's won the...
IGN's number one hardest game. Yay! It's won
the G4T Community Award.
Which you give out. Nah, it's all right. Dark Souls.
It only won the G4TE Community Award because you wouldn't shut up about it.
They actually emailed the votes to Rich, and he lost any other votes for anything other than Dark Dick Head Game Crap.
All right, back to Kingdoms of Amalur. I think Chris, you were getting to a point of saying you actually found one issue.
No, it's not even an issue. I was just trying to think of how I could make the game better. And there's two ways to make the game better. One would be a very minor thing, which would be to put a little splash screen up that says, warning, you can use this trainer once and only once. So the trainers are the guys you go to raise your skill up for in exchange for gold. Because they have the Fate Weaver so that you can reset your skills. And it's like, awesome. So, once I find all the trainers, I'll reset my skills and then I can go use the trainers and maximize everything. But if you use the trainer, you can't use that trainer ever again, even if you reset all your points back to zero. So maybe they did it on purpose, but it's kind of annoying. It's a minor point. The other thing I thought would make this game great, I think a game like this is just prime for drop-in, drop-out, co-op play. And you say, well, that would make it too easy. But if you look at Borderlands, where if a friend dropped into your game, then all the creatures in the world got leveled up a little bit. So you got harder creatures, better loot. So there's an incentive to play co-op, but it's not necessarily required. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I like where you're going with that.
So, but otherwise, I mean, I'm having a hard time finding complaints about the game. It's very deep. Well, the gameplay is very deep. The story, I'm kind of glossing over.
Yeah, I skip every cutscene that comes up. I'm not interested at all in the story.
Yeah,
I would say the dialogue tree could use some work.
Well, it's not the dialogue tree itself. To me, it's the silent hero.
Well, the silent hero, absolutely would love to see it voiced over instead of being silent, a la a Mass Effect kind of a
right.
voiceovering. But I also find that the way they've done the dialogue tree, because they highlight that, especially for main story quests or quests where you're going to kind of move the story along when you're in the dialogue, they highlight the option that basically is going to get the conversation moving along best in blue, and then everything else is kind of grayed out or white. And to me, there's no real incentive to dig deep into any of the conversation because you know the choice that's going to get the conversation moving gets you to move along through it.
I have seen a few occasions where if you access enough of the dialogue options, you'll get a map marker added for some other location you may not have otherwise discovered. So there is that.
It seems like as if they've got the dialogue from Oblivion and Skyrim and just laid it out like Mass Effect. It doesn't seem to actually impact the game at all. I only played it for about 2 hours.
I was just going to say that was the other part of it that I haven't really felt yet. I haven't seen any decision or choice that I have made that seems like it's going to be impactful in any way.
Yeah,
they've just made it look like Mass Effect 2's dialogue. It doesn't actually work like it.
The decisions, at least in for most of them, it doesn't really affect much. Like, it affects the outcome of that particular quest. So I just finished the House of Valor quest, which was the one you got if you pre-ordered the game. And there's one decision you can make along the way there that determines what bonus you get when you complete the quest. Otherwise it really has little effect on things. Maybe with the main story there'll be chances to choose sides later on. I don't know.
Okay.
Because you do reach a point where you've kind of got, you meet that one guy who's kind of your Obi-Wan at the beginning of the game.
Right.
And then later you meet someone who might also be able to help you, but might also have their own scheme going. And so I'm seeing it being set up where eventually you might have to choose between the two.
It's like a Stormcloak's Imperial kind of setup, eh, Chris? It's kind of a similar thing. I know you don't know what I'm talking about.
I haven't played the game yet, but I've heard enough people talking about it that I know what you're talking about.
You've been spoiled.
I've been spoiled.
Mike.
He was spoiled long ago.
How long did you keep Mass Effect 2 out of your... I don't know how you did it, because that came out on like January 1st. You went all year without winning a thing.
It came out January 2010, and I didn't play it till January 2011.
I mean, you spent 6 months nothing. Deleting every one of my emails without reading them. Because I was just spoilers.
I also slammed the door in your face every time you came around my house. Mass Effect 2 is a bang.
All right, Chris. Anything else?
I think that's all about Kingdoms of Amalur. I mean, it's my early nominee for Game of the Year. I'm just going to say that right now.
Oh, wow.
Throwing down the gauntlet.
Hold on, what month did Skyrim come out in?
Skyrim came out last year.
Technically 11, this year 11, as well.
11, 11, 11, 11, 11.
Yeah. Technically this year as well.
It's no. Game of the year. 11 is not 12.
All right, Skyrim Creation Kit is going to be my game of the year.
Lame.
Mike Chin, let's move on to you and keep this rolling. Do you have any PC games you want to talk about?
Well, I did play... Installation. I have played games this week, though, Greg.
I'm excited for what I
Yay,
see on your list.
Yay, play games, video games, yay. I played The Darkness 2 demo.
Finally.
It's pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's all I've got to say about that. No, it's good. Like, it reminds me how much fun The Darkness 1 is. And I want to play The Darkness 1 again now. Because having those, like, demon beast things coming out your back is just cool.
It is cool. I will say, I got The Darkness 2 from Gamefly. It kind of lost its luster with me. It wasn't that it was bad.
Yeah.
It wasn't that it controlled badly.
Yeah.
The graphics were all great and stuff. It just... it kind of felt a little repetitive after a little while.
Right.
I didn't find anything really compelling me, wanting me to continue on. The story wasn't something that I was really invested in.
What game was that, Greg?
Darkness 2.
Right, so all in all, you'd say it wasn't really outstanding.
I can't say anything
on the whole,
other than...
Greg would say it was not really outstanding.
I hate both of you right now. No, mm-hmm. It didn't grab me like I thought it was going to. And I really was high on that game. I really enjoyed the demo. So I'm curious, are you going to try and get the retail version and give it a go off Left Film?
Oh yeah, yeah. I'll definitely be trying it. I just think it's interesting and dark and visually very nice as well. You know, there's some of the stuff in there, like the kind of like the little demon thing farting and pissing on everything, which I just walk past and pretend that doesn't happen. To be honest, because I'm not really a big fan of that kind of humor. But in terms of how the game feels and you shoot your guns and you know, like shooting a gun in a game sounds such like a simple thing to get right, and so many games do it right, but it's actually very difficult, I think, for a game to get right. And when it does get it right, it works very well, and I worry, other from the big developers and big first person shooters, when a game introduces guns or whatever, it's great. It's a great standalone first person shooter with the added element of you're a fucking beast, and I'm very into like anything to do with the mafia, so I'm a big Godfather fan and Goodfellas and stuff, so it's kind of got mafia related stuff. I'm also a big Mafia 2 fan, as you know, Greg.
Yes.
So, you know, the Mafia thing helps, I think. That really does kind of help, because otherwise I probably wouldn't be as interested. But that does help. I like the whole, the fact that it's set in New York and all that as well. So, yeah, I'll definitely be giving it a go. It's a good demo as far as I'm concerned. You knew exactly what was going on in the demo. You knew, you know, what he was trying to do to you, and you knew that you kind of understood everybody's motives in the demo in a very short space of time, which I thought was very, very well achieved. I've also played the Uncharted 3 thing.
The Uncharted 3 thing? Did you finish it?
I have started, played, and finished Uncharted 3.
Excellent.
In the space of two playthroughs.
That's dedication.
Yeah, I played, my first one was 6 hours long, then the second one was 5 hours long, so 11 hours it took me to start and finish the game. And that is a cracking game, Greg.
I agree.
That's a brilliant piece of software there.
Now, let me ask you. So, Uncharted 3.
Yes.
Did you... we both agree. Great game.
Great game.
Was it a great game because of the story and the voice acting and the animations? more so than the gameplay, or was the gameplay for you the real hook?
Well, the gameplay is the hook, and I think that the kind of the thrill rides and, you know, like the everything falling apart and you just about surviving, and that's the attraction of Uncharted 3. It's the going on the roller coaster and going all the way down, you know? And I think I didn't mention this on the Veteran Games, but Nathan Drake, he kind of took a step down for me. He didn't really, he wasn't as Nathan Drakey as he was in 2. You know, he didn't seem to have as many wisecracks as he usually does. There's a lot more personal stuff in there, you know, because you play him, you know, back in the day, and you find out how he meets, you know, certain characters and stuff. And
which I loved.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The prequel stuff, so to speak.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's great. Don't get me wrong. Like, I enjoyed it, but it's definitely not the kind of... if somebody was just purely after that smart aleck Drake is a kind of a lovable rogue, you know, Han Solo type of thing, there's definitely less of this in Uncharted 3 than there is in 2. But if you want kind of like, I want to know more about Drake, then 3's, that's what 3's all about. So right. He's just not as cheeky as he is in 2, which I found a little bit disappointing. But, you know, it's about as emotional as, you know, a James Bond film gets, you know, or, you know, a Mission Impossible or something like that. So it's not that really, it's not pulling on the heartstrings too much. But, you know, it does make you think, you know, that's nice. And you do believe their connections and stuff, so that's great. And the combat, like everybody was saying, like the hand-to-hand combat is really forced upon you. And it is forced upon you. But it didn't bother me too much. I mean, there are moments in that game where you're fighting hand-to-hand and you think, you know, I would just shoot him now. But what bothers me more is there's a lot more moments in this game where it stops and goes, oh, you should take all these guys out quietly. And eventually you get found out anyway.
Right.
That bothered me a bit more. There's one instant on a ship where you go, right, I better take these guys out quietly. So why? Because they find you every time. Every time. There's no way to get through that room without being found out. All right. So it's just pointless. And they introduce stuff for no reason. So that bothered me more.
Did you find certain areas to be punishing, for lack of a better way to put it?
There's definitely one.
In particular, the pirate area?
The pirate area didn't really bother me too much. And I remember kind of not looking forward to getting to it. And I definitely died a few times at it. But it didn't bother me too much. I found kind of like a corner that I think helped. And like I got access to a grenade launcher, which helped. So I didn't struggle too much, but it was definitely a pain in the ass. But the part where I really didn't like at all was the bit where you're on the ship and it's like a big kind of lobby area, and yet you start off being stealthy and then you eventually get found out.
Yeah.
That really got to me. But the thing is, when I did it, Greg, I was really satisfied when I did it. So I was kind of like, well, all right, it was pissing me off. But when I did it, you know, that I suppose why people love Dark Souls so much is because it's the kind of achievement, really, that's the fun part. So, you know, and we're so spoilt as gamers now. We play a game for 5 minutes, and if we die, like, twice, we're like, oh, this game is stupid and broken. How fucking dare you? All right, and it's not really. It's just that you suck, and you got to get better. So it didn't bother me too much. I think Uncharted 3 is a great game. I don't know if it's as good as 2, just because obviously 2 was there before 3. That's the way things are usually ordered. And I think the kind of like shock and awe and the wow, that's so amazing and great has gone now. But there are definitely moments in 3 that are just amazing. I think parts of it are better than 2. There's one part where, you know, you've seen trailers of it, like the desert. The desert part blew me away. I loved it. It's one of the greatest, you know, moments I've played in a long time, and I loved it. Absolutely loved it. So it's a great game, really. Very good.
List.
Yeah, it's up there. It's definitely up there. There's some of the chase scenes. There's one chase scene where you chase the bad guy, and he's just as fucking fit as you are. And I'm like, well, I thought I was special because I'm jumping around. Apparently every fucker can do this thing. He's jumping around. He's just some bad guy that looks like he's got a bad accent and shoots dart bullets in everybody's neck. But he jumps around, and I'm like, wow. And another thing
that was That was one of those other moments where I had some frustration because some of the camera angles during that chase scene. Just
There's always that. Yeah. And the one more thing I'll say about it is that they bring in characters that are new and interesting. I like the British guy, for example.
Charlie.
Good guy. But you never see him again after like a certain thing, and he disappears, and they never bring him back. I mean, he doesn't. Like, I'm not spoiling anything. He doesn't die. He doesn't, you know, or anything like that. You never see him again. They spend all this time and, you know, investment in a new character. Never see him again. Like, what the hell is that about, you know? I think they got lost in their own kind of characters and forgot about it.
Part of me wonders if they decide DLC.
What happened to Charlie, I suppose? Like,
Charlie's Missing Mission.
I would buy that as well, just because it pissed me off a bit. So, yeah, it's a great game. Anybody with a PS3 should be playing it. And if you don't have a PS3, buy one and then play 2 and 3. So, they're great.
There you go.
Boom.
All right. Anything else, Mike?
Nope, that's me.
Okay, Mr. Primrose, if you are still awake and still with us.
I'm still here.
I love you for that. Let's talk Primrose Gaming.
Yeah. Had an hour or so Battlefield 3 in 2 for Tuesday with some of the G4TE people tonight.
Excellent.
Where the key topic of conversation had nothing to do with Battlefield 3. It was basically... A couple of guys were calling you out, Mr. Greg DeLacy, regarding your thoughts on Dark Souls and the fact that you've not given it a good enough go. And they said that they thought you should do, especially after what you were saying last week about Kingdoms of Amalur and how you were liking that so much. Didn't seem to see how you could... Be so critical of it when you've not really played it for very long. So.
I will freely admit, I didn't play Dark Souls for a tremendously long time. It did not grab me. I didn't find it all that satisfying. I can see where some of those hooks are, though. Compared to what I'm experiencing with Kingdoms of Amalur, it's just kind of different. And maybe it's... because there is more, you know, more direction and more structure with Kingdoms of Amalur than there was with Dark Souls, and maybe that's why I'm enjoying Kingdoms of Amalur better. I don't know what to say to those critics other than email the show and give me your exact thoughts.
Yeah,
because I certainly would welcome.
Just get some specifics.
Yeah, you know, you can call me out all you want, but you know. Step up to the plate and call me.
No, you didn't.
Oh, yeah, I did. I'm challenging your Battlefield 3 compatriots. Email the show. Let me know what your thoughts were and where you thought maybe I was being hypocritical. And we'll talk about it.
Cool.
I am the first to say I can be wrong. I'm not in this case, but I can be wrong in other instances.
Huh?
Go on, Rich. Go on.
So that was good. A few games of Battlefield tonight. Skyrim. Got a lot of time in on that. I finished the main Dragonborn quest. And not sure if I've done the right thing by doing it, to be honest with you. But we'll see. And I'm now leading the charge for the Stormcloaks. Kicking ass. For Ulrich, the man. Had a comical encounter on a bridge with a posh man on a horse. Apparently he's always stood there, and I found this out afterwards when I was tweeting about it. So this guy's just stood on the bridge on his own, on his horse, and basically saying, if you do anything to me, I have people that will come and seat you out. So, what's that like? Dangling a carrot, isn't it, really? So, twatted him off his horse. And lo and behold, his horse started kicking the shit out of me. actually chasing me and rearing itself up. So I had to put pay to that. Anyway, Andy Bandwagon, he basically started tweeting back. And he was saying he fusradard the same bloke off his horse. And got another... comical result from that, where the guy landed in the stream, so he went chasing him down the stream, and he ended up basically lying in the pool with a load of crabs around him, and they were just started attacking him. So, yeah, great. Go and beat the posh bloke up on the bridge. Recommend that. Good. Dark Souls. So, I'm not going to say too much because I'll get slagged off, but never mind. Put more time into that. I'm sticking with it because I still enjoy it. I'm getting into the platforming side of things now. I don't know. The great thing about this game is it's a smaller play area, obviously, than Skyrim and so on. But you do get to see, because of the beauty of the map and the way that it's laid out, it's like one of these, you know, the old painting that's meant to represent Dante's Inferno type thing.
Right.
It sort of reminds me, when you're walking around there, there's just the beauty of the way that they've designed the play area and everything. But you do get to see, every now and again, things that look like they're impossible to get. And you know they're going to be key items, so... in the Fire Link Shrine, where Gregor's got to, and then just went boggering off down to the cemetery and then gave up. If you take a route, you can basically see on top of the roof of everything, there's a glowing item. So I thought, I'm going to make it my mission to try and do that. So then the game turned into a bit like Tomb Raider. Right? You had to work out how to get to this one key item. So... turns out, after doing a little bit of sneaky manoeuvring and a few funny jumps and stuff, you can gain a key to the south wing of the asylum, which I thought was a bit strange because that's where you start off and it's like your tutorial. Anyway, it turns out you can catch the crow back to the asylum and get different... results from that, which I've not done yet, but I did a bit of looking up on it, and I think I've got to level up a bit before I can do that. But that was very good. My comical encounter for the day on that was that I ended up luring a skeleton to an area where you can join the First Covenant, and there are basically now there's about four key characters all stood together. Now the great thing about Dark Souls is you can quite easily get into battle with any one of the key characters, kill them, and then gain an object off them, but you will basically end up cutting off key parts of what you can gain later on in the game.
Right, you break quest lines, that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
So, purely
by... What happens if a skeleton kills a character?
Exactly, this is where my disaster started. Basically, a skeleton chased me from the cemetery. I can quite easily kick the ass off skeletons, but I thought it'd be fun to try and get the skeleton to kick the ass of one of these guards that was protecting this enchantress woman that's kneeling down praying in this certain area. More fool me. So, as part of this battle carried out, he could quite happily hit him, but I bumped into the same guy while the skeleton was twatting him. And then they took it upon themselves to attack me. So I had to massacre four of the key characters in the game.
Oops.
And you haven't got save slots in this game.
Nope.
So, yeah, I don't know what's going to happen now. And one of the guys that I actually killed was the leader of the Covenant that I joined. So I've had to basically bugger off and join a different covenant. So now I've talked to a cat, and the cat's made me part of the Hunter Covenant.
Wait.
Yeah, I've talked to a cat.
We're talking about Alice in Wonderland now.
Yeah, yeah. It's like the Cheshire Cat. It's wicked. Found a cat, talked to him, and then he offered me to join the Hunters. So I've done that, and I've got to the depths as well. Yeah. So that was really good.
Can you smoke weed in this game?
Yeah, you need to be.
I think you do.
Yeah, you need to be. So anyway, Rich was just on about Mike holding off on Mass Effect 2. So cast your mind back to 2007. Great game came out called Mass Effect.
Right.
Everybody remember that? Well, it never clicked with me, and I think I mentioned a few weeks back that I tried to get back into it again, and I was enjoying it, but I got stuck. And just want to point two things out, which I'm really glad that BioWare have acted upon in Mass Effect 2. First one is slow lifts in Mass Effect.
Right, right.
Slow lifts really were doing my head in this game. And
yes.
It seems like the lifts are even slower when you're on the Normandy. So
yeah.
I think Joker...
They're loading levels.
Yeah, I know that. But, you could still make the floors just look like they're going past you faster. Just so you feel like you're getting somewhere quicker.
Make me feel like I'm going fast. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, at least they got rid of the... So in Mass Effect 2, they got rid of the lift altogether by making you stare at a loading screen for 3 minutes. I preferred the Mass Effect 1 approach where you got to listen to the little news guy tell you about what was going on in the galaxy.
I love Skyrim's approach to this with the 3D modeling and sticking, you know.
I don't like that. That bores
really. I like that. And also, the other thing that's really bugging me about it, and I will say good things after that, is that Mako thing.
Yeah.
It's like a big track from the 70s. And it fucking controls as hard as one of them did.
Tell you what, this is a 4-year-old argument, isn't it?
Jeez. I know.
Yeah.
Has everybody had this one out then previously? Because I've never heard of these
podcasts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No. Nobody liked the Mako. As far as I know, nobody liked.
Me.
I forgot what the other vehicle they brought into Mass Effect 2. For whatever reason, BioWare is not good at vehicles. I don't know why. But at least so far, my experience with their games and vehicles has not been a pleasant one.
Yeah. But
they feel pointless.
But the story is top draw. And what I've done is basically, because I watched that cinematic trailer today, and there's been a lot of stuff roaming around the internet to do with the build-up for the new one. So I thought, I don't want to play the demo, because I don't want to do what's actually in the game again type thing. Because of the whole thing with the story, so I thought I want to leave the demo and I'm going to go back to Mass Effect 1. And it's really getting me into it. Really getting
Excellent.
Me into it. For really enjoying it. And I love the way that you can actually manipulate your weapons and stuff a bit more, adding attachments and stuff. That is good. You didn't get that in
Mass Effect 3, where you can add attachments and things.
Is it? Cool.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
I'll be glad to see that back. And I thought the cinematic trailer was absolutely excellent. Well, I kind of put a link up for that today, and it looked really good.
If you haven't seen that that trailer yet, it is awesome. They have an extended version of it now. It's a 3-minute trailer.
I'll see it next year, Greg. I'll see it next year.
Well, I included a link in the notes.
No, I'll see it next year. So I'll play it until next year, so I might as well see it next year.
Fine, Mike. You watch it next year. Everybody else can watch it now.
America.
But... America. It's really good. Unfortunately, I know the game's not going to look as good as that trailer did, but, oh. Yeah.
Oh.
I've got one more thing to add, because it's not a game that I've played yet, but in 2 days' time, there is possibly what's going to be the nicest-looking iPad game coming out. And it's called Lume. Has anybody seen that?
No.
Right. Okay. Watch out for it, kids. Watch out for it, kids. It looks beautiful.
You heard it here first, kids.
Or second, whatever. Yeah.
Lume.
Lume.
Lume?
Lume.
Lume. Lume. Top tip.
All right. Excellent, Rich. Thank you. Let's see. For me, Kingdoms of Amalur clearly was my mainstay of games over the weekend, but we already talked about that. I did a little Modern Warfare 3 with the Lag Boys. Been helping out Gary's team lose, basically, is what I've been helping them do. I've been holding my own, mind you.
Oh, Greg.
Trying to talk trash. But, our team's not terribly good. But that's okay. Fittingly, Chris, you'll appreciate this one. Our team name is Rage Quit.
Well, that's good.
You know, one freaking time, man. One freaking time. One goat.
And the only other thing I have given a whirl was the SSX demo.
How was that?
Got it. It was quite good. I was really impressed. I'm not a huge SSX fan. I've never been into the snowboarding scene. But I gave it a whirl this morning, and that is a very, very competent snowboarding game that I think a lot of people that, you know, that like that kind of game are going to really enjoy this. Kind of, it doesn't have an open world, but you do have, you know, globally, just a number of courses to choose from. You'll kind of globetrot all over the world, go into different locations, and each location has anywhere from like 5 to 6 different course runs that you'll go through and be able to access. You unlock characters, which this was kind of new, or at least I think is new to the series. The characters themselves each have different traits and kind of like perks and bonuses to them on what they can do better than the other one. So there's actual benefits to unlocking different characters now, whereas before I think they just were character skins that you unlocked. But the actual pulling off tricks and moves was really easy. You can either use buttons or you can use the thumbstick. And it looked great. Has a nice soundtrack to it.
I thought the big thing with that was supposed to be that they'd map like 4 mountains and you could go absolutely anywhere you wanted on a deck. Because they've got multiplayer on it, haven't they?
Right. Right, so they have literally used satellite imagery of all of these different areas, these huge mountains. From what I can tell off the demo, it's not that you can just snowboard the whole mountain and just go anywhere you want. Each mountain has kind of courses that you go down. The courses themselves are pretty open. I mean, you kind of can almost go anywhere within the course, but because you're constantly moving forward, you literally just can't go anywhere, if that makes sense. Because you're always going to be moving forward, so it's not like you can at some point just start just going parallel and circle the mountain.
Do you parachute out and...
They do have – you kind of parachute down to the mountain that you're going to, and that was part of the –
Can you move anywhere when you're parachuting? Can you fly, basically, and glide?
No. Well, at least not that I could tell. What basically you do as you're parachuting down from the helicopter is you're just doing stunts in the air.
Oh, okay.
And you kind of are able to rack up points and do that as you come
down.
Before
you even start?
Yeah. Impressive. Well, for certain things. You parachute in for certain game types,
right.
I believe.
Not
Again,
everything.
Not 100% sure because it was just the demo. But that was how they set up the tutorial, and I did that again for another game type.
Does the demo have an avalanche mode?
I don't know if it has the avalanche mode in it or not, but there is an avalanche mode in the game.
That is what I want to play.
Okay, well, there you go.
I was big into SSX Tricky back in the day. So I might try the demo out.
I would recommend if you enjoyed Amped or SSX back in the day, either one of those games, I think this game is going to be an absolute home run for you.
The only snowboarding game I liked was Snowboard Kids on the Nintendo 64.
This is not for you then.
Right. Gotcha.
No, actually, I would say yes, even for you, Mike.
I'll give it a try. It sounds it's getting a lot of good stuff. I tried that short white snowboarding. Remember that?
Right.
It was okay. I played co-op. It was actually a lot of fun, co-op. Is this co-op?
Well, co-op in that you can race against other people and partake in multiplayer, so to speak. I mean, it's not really co-op.
No.
I'm sure there are courses that you can go down and go down together with, and you know,
what?
As you're kind of racking up points.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I like Surf's Up on the Xbox. Well, I like it.
You might, Rich. You might.
Are there any penguins in it?
There very well could be. There very well could be. It's funny. A lot of people were afraid this was going to be kind of Call of Duty'd, and people were afraid of how it was going to kind of come across. But
Greg said duty.
Yeah, I did say duty. It still retains that snowboarder feel, you know, that
Dude.
Crazy kind of, you know, fighting the man. So,
Fighting the man.
Brilliant. Yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I was surprised how much I enjoyed it.
So could you call in a Pavlo then and get the other guy's shot?
Absolutely. Just wipe everybody out.
Oh,
no,
okay.
You can't. No Pavlos. But maybe you can call in a penguin. I don't know.
I'm buying it.
Maybe that's an unlock in the full game. Penguin suit. I could see it happening.
Want it.
All right, well, that does it for what we've been playing. I think we can finally move on. We're going to talk some new releases.
Well, yeah.
All right, so new releases this week. Now, let's see if anything's coming out on the Wii. No, nothing out on the Wii this week. It's just a sad existence to be a Wii player right now. Just saying.
Steve.
What was that, Mr. Matthew?
Nothing. A joke about how, you know, Wii is W-I-I, the game console, but also Wii, W-E-E, as in to be small.
Okay, speaking of small things, the 3DS. A couple games I thought worth mentioning. Well, one is worth mentioning, one not so much. Metal Gear Solid Snake Eater 3D.
Snake?
Comes out this week, yes.
Snake!
And then Zuma's Revenge, not as worthy of mention, but both out on the 3DS, so at least something for a Nintendo fan to enjoy.
So my wife pointed something out about Zuma's Revenge, right? The picture of it is like a lunchbox or some food or something. And so she thought it was very funny that Zuma's Revenge was having to do with food, because of course that brings up Montezuma's Revenge, which is of course how your guts get all busted if you drink the water in Mexico.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. PS3, Azura's Wrath comes out this week to retail shelves. It is funny, Chris.
Yeah, whatever.
It's a duty reference.
Duty.
Also this week, Syndicate, which is getting some actually pretty good reviews so far. So, might have to check that out again.
You know what's unfortunate about Syndicate?
Do tell.
A lot of people have said they're going to wait and buy it when the price comes down because there's no online pass for it. And so we're just telling the developers that they need to continue the online pass because otherwise we won't buy new games.
True. It's very true.
Well done, everyone.
You still buy it new with the price, though.
Yeah, but you're not buying it day one, so they're making less money, right?
Right.
So
there's no incentive to buy it day one right now,
right,
so to speak.
So we're just basically, as gamers, we're sending the message to the developers that they need to include online passes to make us buy it day one.
No, but if I go out and buy Saints Row the Third 2 months afterwards and it's gone down in price, I still get the pass.
Yes, you do. But they don't make as much money because you bought it for $30 instead of $60, right? So what? A lot of people are going to wait and buy this one used or buy it when the price comes down because there's no online pass, right?
Right. You can buy it used. That's actually the bigger crisis.
That's really the difference, is you can buy it used and still play it online.
Right. And that's what we were getting at.
Yeah. Sorry. I said it wrong.
It's okay. Back on point. New releases. PSN games coming out this week. Full Spectrum Warrior, 10 Hammers coming to the old PSN.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I love Full Spectrum Warrior. Great game. Mafia 2 coming to the PSN, as well as Star Wars The Force Unleashed 2. Lots of twos.
Not so much.
Yeah. Some minis to throw out there. Hungry Giraffe and Touchdown Fever. I know you've got Touchdown Fever, Mike. I heard about it.
I don't know what that's referring to.
Okay. Naruto Shippuden.
Naruto Shippuden. Wow.
Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm. It's a free demo out on the PSN right now. Actually, I believe the correct full title. Big breath. Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Ninja Storm Generations.
Naruto Shippuden Ultimate Storm Ninja Generations. Is how it's properly pronounced.
That is. Also, Shank 2 and SSX.
I can smell weed. What can I smell weed?
That's SSX.
Oh.
Remember that Joby and Long Mike?
Sorry? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, some long shows. DLC Front, Never Dead Expansion Pack Volume 1, Saints Row the Third, Gangsta in Space,
Gangsta?
UFC Personal Trainer, John Jones Workout Pack, and Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, the Beautiful Strange Pack, all available right now. Go get them. on the retail shelves for the PS Vita. I suppose we need to start talking about the Vita. Army Corps of Hell out. Ben 10 Galactic Racing. Dynasty Warriors next. Ninja Gaiden Sigma Plus. Shinobi Dude. I don't even know how to say that. 2 Revenge of Zen. If you really want that game, you'll know what it's called. And Touch My Katamari.
They've run out of names for Dynasty Warriors games now, haven't they? They just thought, we'll just call it the next one. Dynasty Warriors next, that'll be.
There's a bunch of PSN games, too, for the Vita. More importantly, the Vita comes out this week.
Yeah, that's
probably newsworthy. Moving over to the Xbox 360 this week, Azura's Wrath, Syndicate on the retail shelves. Xbox Live Arcade, Alan Wake's American Nightmare comes out this week. America. Demos, that Naruto Shippuden thing. What he said. And Shank 2 and SSX. DLC front, if you've got the Call of Duty Elite, you are in a happy place right now because Call of Duty Modern Warfare 3 Overwatch map comes out this week. And the Never Dead Expansion Pack Volume 1. Along with Saints Row, the third gangsta in space, and UFC personal trainer John Jones workout pack, and last but not least, Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, the beautiful strange pack, out this week on the retail shelves. Deals of the week, thought I'd cover this real fast. If you're a Fable 3 lover, you've got lots to look forward to. All kinds of stuff on sale, basically 50% off, and you know, most importantly, you can get your Border Collie Avatar prop for only 160 points now, as opposed to the 240 points it was before.
Deal of the week.
Yeah. And just because Mr. Webster is here, and now Mr. Matthew is part of this
elite group.
PC gaming. Yes, the PC elitist. Coming out to the PC this week, you've got that old Saints Row the Third Gangsta in Space pack for $7, basically. And Syndicate and War Game European Escalation.
Can't wait for that.
Yeah, $7 for DLC. You could get 10 games on Steam for that.
And that is the new releases. All right, so right about now we'd normally do the news quiz, but this week, because we know we're running long already, we're not doing a news quiz.
Nope.
Plus, there really wasn't a lot of news going out
the
this
Vita
week.
The Vita came out, something to do with Mass Effect.
Yep, Vita comes out this week, and Mass Effect is going to be on the PSN network day one.
All right.
But it's $60, so why in the world would you buy it from the PSN? Right. Just get the retail copy, you have the disc.
We know that they have to put extra prices on for distribution for the physical copy. That's fair enough. But for digital versions, we're not that stupid.
Or are we? But hey, we're going to move on. We're going to press into our break real fast. Got a nice little, in honor of Rich being here, Battlefield 2 Gun Sound song.
I know that one. That's ace.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. And enjoy that. When we come back from the break, we'll dive into the question of the week, and we will get this show wrapped up as fast as possible so we can maybe play some Battlefield 3 ourselves. All right, we are back from the break, and well, we're going to dive into this week's question, which, Mr. Matthew, you had come up with so eloquently.
I don't know about eloquently, but I did come up with a question, which has probably been asked before.
I'm sure it's been asked many times before, but it's worth talking about because I think there might be some differing opinions here.
There just might be. The question, before we dive into it, is what makes a game a role-playing game?
And, yeah, on that note, I mean, we can take this around the room real fast. So, Rich,
yeah.
Webster,
yeah.
I know you have some definitive thoughts, or I shouldn't say definitive, definite thoughts about what makes a role-playing game a role-playing
yes,
game.
Yes, Rich definitely has some thoughts.
Yeah, well, yeah, what, the, yeah.
On a whole.
What I had were thoughts, well, you know, well deduced there, Greg. My thoughts were that I believe that today an RPG is merely an idea. It doesn't actually exist anymore as it stands. It's almost like you have to sort of get a feeling of whether a game is an RPG. And I'll give you an example, right? Kingdoms of Amalur, yeah? Exchange all the weapons for guns. Stick them in a desert, and you've got Borderlands.
Which was... not really an RPG.
Exactly.
True.
But people said it was. It's got skills, upgrades, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But Call of Duty, if you exchange all the weapons for swords and stick them in the forest, you've got Kingdoms of Amalur. Do you know what I mean? It's like...
I think that's a stretch.
Basically what I'm saying is, over the last 10 years, because RPGs used to be the biggest sellers, apart from like Madden and FIFA. And over the last 10 years... other games have borrowed, and, you know, Call of Duty's got the upgrade system and leveling up, and everyone's took a piece, and now an RPG doesn't really exist unless, apart from in your head, you sort of know, yeah, that's an RPG.
So, I kind of agree with what you're saying, except for one small point, and that is, in, say, Call of Duty, as you're progressing through the campaign, Duty. You don't really ever upgrade. Now, in the multiplayer,
The campaign doesn't exist for me with Modern Warfare. They only make that because they have to. It's the multiplayer people play that game for. That's what I was saying.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I agree that there's definitely the RPG feel to the multiplayer as you level up and customize your kit. But the big difference there is with the Halo and the Battlefield 3 and the Modern Warfare 3 is that you don't level up any stats as you play through the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think over time these things naturally merge anyway. It does with the movie industry, and I think it's part of kind of when a medium progresses that they will naturally merge. And I think an RPG is still an RPG. You know, I think that Mass Effect is, you know, is, at core it's an RPG, and you know Amalur is still an RPG. But they borrow aspects. They borrow good things of other games that have done things great. So. You know, Amalur, from what I've heard, has got a good combat system from what they've got from God of War, and Mass Effect is more of a shooter because it's more fun to be that way, and Call of Duty needs some replayability, so they borrowed the RPG up-leveling system. So I think it's just, you know, these games, Call of Duty is still a first-person shooter, but it's just borrowing things, just learning from other genres.
You know...
snap.
I think, if anything, there needs to be kind of a redefining of RPG and maybe creating up a new genre itself. Because I look at games like...
What about Mega RPG? Hey?
Well...
Mega
no,
Game
see,
RPG.
Okay, yeah, yeah. The whole thing behind RPG, it's a role-playing game. Now, there's a lot of games that fall into that kind of
Uncharted
category.
3, you play a role there.
See, I disagree with it.
Well, I don't think you're playing a role in Uncharted 3. I think you're following a character.
Yeah.
You're controlling the character half the time, but truly you're just following his story. In Kingdoms of Amalur and Skyrim, you are the character. You're making the story.
Spoiler alert.
And
Dark Souls.
And Dark Souls. I can kind of get on board with where this is going.
But are you Shepard?
Say, yeah.
Are you Shepard, though?
Yeah.
Well, see, now here's the interesting spin. With with role-playing games, I think a core element, and this is going to be brought up in one of the forum responses in LAG that I thought put it really well, but I think there needs to be an open-endedness to the game in that your decision and decisions in the game have an effect on the direction the end of the game goes. And that's something, like in Final Fantasy, I don't think Final Fantasy is necessarily a role-playing game. I think Final Fantasy is more of a tactical...
Controversial.
Tactical fantasy strategy game. You know, you set up your characters, you create, you know, you kind of load them out, so to speak, but you don't make decisions in Final Fantasy that affect the end of the game, because the end of the game is predetermined. You're going to get to that same ending no matter what. Unless I'm wrong, I don't think Final Fantasy has changed their formula over 13 or so games.
Yeah, it plays exactly like Age of Empires now. There's no cutscenes at all anymore.
Cutscenes are, you know, but that's another thing. You know, cutscenes, you know, people say, oh, they have to have cutscenes. No, you know, I don't agree. I think a role-playing game, if you're really going to define a game as a role-playing game, you have to assume the identity and role of the main character. And a very key point of it has to be that your decisions and what you do in the game affects the way that story unfolds. And I would say Heavy Rain is as much an RPG as any other game in the market. Because Ooh. Heavy Rain absolutely allowed you to... Yeah. play that role and affect, and there were multiple different outcomes that could happen because of the way you played that game.
Yeah, but you could say the same about Silent Hill 1.
Yeah.
Possibly. That's what I'm saying. I think RPG is being misused a lot these days. We look at RPG and we think instantly, oh, you know, swords, shields, well, elves, and stats, and customization of character. And I don't think that is what an RPG is.
I think we called RPGs RPGs. Because they were the natural evolution of tabletop paper and pen dice rolling games,
right?
Warcraft, right? But the difference, Dungeons and Dragons and stuff.
Yeah, the difference being, if you were in a D&D club, you had some control over the narrative as it played out,
right?
And in the original, you know, in the early days of the RPG, there just wasn't enough memory space on the disc for you to have any choices. You had to go through a linear progression. And so, since Greg's pretty much said everything that I was going to say, yeah, I mean, I think that's the key is you have to have decisions that affect the outcome of the game. So I'm not sure that Kingdoms of Amalur yet is an RPG. It might just be an action adventure game.
I would agree.
So far, I don't know.
I haven't seen where the decision making truly is affecting one way or another how that outcome plays out. Now, it may.
It may, and I haven't gotten far enough to say.
Yeah, agreed.
See, that's the thing, because a lot of games these days are like, they're given that RPG label, and then you sit down and you play them, and you think to yourself, you know, I don't even believe in genres anymore, you know, genres, but like, what the fuck is an action-adventure? There's action and adventure in Skyrim, but I wouldn't call Skyrim an action-adventure, but let's assume that there are genres and they do exist. Like you said, Chris, Kingdoms of Amalur could just be an action game. With RPG elements. My Call of Duty is a shooting game with RPG elements.
Right.
I think action adventure is the generic label we put on anything that we don't know where to fit it. Mm. Right? So Tomb Raider goes into action adventure because it's not really a shooter because you also have the platforming in there. You know, Uncharted 3 goes into action adventure.
I would say there's probably a lot more games that can fit in a quote-unquote action-adventure label.
All of them could.
And maybe should. Yeah, I mean, to a degree.
I think the whole genre system needs to change because we're stuck in this sort of this thing now where literally, you know, the same system of names had shoot-em-up in them. No one calls anything shoot-em-ups anymore. But that's the only thing that's changed. Now they're just called shooters, but everything's still there. Action, adventure, puzzle. You know, it's like... You know, what would you say Love Actually is? Would you say Love Actually was a comedy? Would you say it was a rom-com? Would you say it was a tearjerker? You know, there's films that come out and they fit into multiple genres, and it's the same as... I always say Love Actually
because... I'd say it's an RPG because I felt like
I thought you were actually asking us to define.
No, I said Love Actually because I watched it the other day, Valentine's Day.
You said, what do you think Love Actually is? I forgot that was the name of a movie.
Yeah.
Right? Oh. So it depends on where you put the punctuation.
Yeah. You thought we were all going to get deep on this shit.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
We're not going to get that deep.
Genres don't seem to make any sense to me. There should just be a couple. It's either like a sports game, a racing game, a shooting game, or a, you know, action game, adventure game, whatever. You know, there's all these mixes and matches, and like RPG is now spread so thin that like now we don't know what an RPG is because it's spread so thin. But we know
what when somebody says an RPG, we know what they mean.
That's what I mean. Really? That's what going back to what I said. It's the idea. We know in our heads what an RPG is, and I can look at that game and I go, right, that is an RPG. But to explain it to someone, like I'll say, okay, on Skyrim, like you know, you can do quests. And, you know, you've got choices and you can... Okay, so it's like Fable. Well, no, because Fable, Peter Molyneux said Fable, not an RPG. It's an action-adventure game.
But, see, yeah, I would kind of agree.
Yeah, but in some ways Fable is an RPG because there's a few key decisions you can make along the way that change the story a bit.
Same as Madden? Same as FIFA? When you play Football Manager?
Sports is different at the moment, although I would say that Madden with the single player game and the be a pro mode is kind of going down that RPG avenue.
What about SmackDown games like that?
The point that I made to Conger on his podcast, I emailed him, was, you know, I think when you play Madden or FIFA, you're playing the role of coach, general manager, and team owner, you know? You're deciding who's going to be on the roster, and that changes how well your team's going to play.
So. And in FIFA, you can play the season as one guy. You can do the whole season as that one footballer.
Yeah.
And it goes into like...
Maybe sports games are the ultimate RPG.
No, they're schizophrenic RPGs, if you're the general manager and the coach and everything.
Yeah, Football Manager is like over the top, like the amount of stuff you've got to do in that game.
Well, let's dive into some of the forum responses and see what everybody had to say. So over at LAG, we had a few different responses. So first was from a friend of the show, The Real Defoe. Said, looking forward to hearing the responses on the podcast this week. He said, so let me preface this by saying I only play first-person shooters for the longest time and only recently started playing RPGs. The game that broke me in and slowly introduced me into the RPG genre was BioShock, which I think I would argue at this point I would not call that an RPG.
Barely. I mean, you had really one decision, and that was whether to harvest or save the little sisters, and that changed how the ending went. But yeah, just barely.
But it did have all the skills and upgrades, didn't it? So strange. Yeah.
Well, interesting, though, Gary does say, while I don't consider this a true RPG, the game got me used to exploring and building weapons and ammo. The first real RPG that I played and ended up becoming one of my all-time favorite games was Mass Effect 2. To me, it had the perfect blend of action and RPG elements. I think I first played this around a year ago. I now love Skyrim, and I'm going to try Fallout 3 again. I hated it the first time I played it.
Good lad.
But never made it out of the Fallout shelter in the beginning. So yeah, clearly you have some exploring to do. He says, so while I have not had a huge sampling of RPGs, this is what I believe an RPG is. Feeling like you are the character that you are playing, and you make decisions that will influence the story. So a couple of musts are, first, it needs to have a conversation system, one that shapes how the story is delivered to the user. The second element that an RPG must have is a leveling system where you decide what your character's traits will be. And lastly, customization, building guns, ammo, clothing, etc. Have a great show. And Greg, get practicing on your Modern Warfare 3 so we don't get our asses kicked again. Thanks. Thanks, Gary. Thanks a lot. Next was from the LAG user Same. He said, Mr. Dictator, that is a perfect example of what an RPG is. He was referring to Gary. He said, for the record, Fallout 3 is an awesome game, an RPG that puts you into the game. The choices you make affect the overall outcome of the game. For me, there should not be one defined ending of the game. The choices you make affect that. Another defining point in an RPG is the fact that everything you do is permanent. That's an interesting point. except for the loading save point option, of course. Games like Elder Scrolls, Fallout, Dragon Age series are prime examples of this. The ability to kill quest givers gives you the dynamic game dynamics of the game. You can pick a fight with anyone, anywhere, at any time. So, Rich, that's kind of falling into that whole Dark Souls situation for you.
Yeah, I'm a donut.
The open world aspect is something I really enjoy as well. Yeah, the freedom to move throughout the world. The only thing holding you back is your strength. In Skyrim, you can go pick a fight with any giant anytime you want, but you may not survive to tell the tale. I said I should be working on homework, but I got distracted. Easier to write about something you enjoy rather than something you are required to write about. So I would agree with a lot of these points so far. I don't think an RPG has to be open world. That's my one thing I will say. I don't think it needs to be open world. I do think, though, decisions need to be permanent and need to be impactful. Crusty Old Man, one, said, if I'm wandering about an hour or so, bored witless, then I know it's an RPG.
Lol.
And last but not least, Speed Limit 7 said, RPGs don't necessarily have to be open world or even open-ended stories, as I believe the Final Fantasy series, which usually has a set storyline, is one of the most important RPG franchises of all time. Now, I can't comment on a lot of the newer RPG titles, as I have not had time to play many or any of them, but there are countless games on the market that incorporate some of the RPG elements that Defoe spoke of. Things have changed quite a bit since the last time I played RPGs, in both gaming world at large and in the RPG realm itself. So, well said there. All right. Mike, why don't you tell us a little bit about what the Play Vault had to say?
Yes, out of the Play Vault, John Mouse said, a good RPG for me must have the staples of the series. Level or ranking system, upgradable abilities and skills, quests, a strong story or lore for the world/game universe. On the flip side, what makes a bad RPG? Anything Final Fantasy did after FF10. Smiley face. Cheeky smiley face. Also, G.H. Rocker says, what John said, plus a story that can change by your choices, which is kind of similar to what some of us have been saying, like Fallout, a good unique selling point that enhances the RPG experience, a character that you can make your own.
All right. Done. Mr. Matthew, I believe you have the gate responses, which there are many.
That I do. There's a few some of them relatively lengthy. So before I get into the gate responses, a few of them are addressing specific issues in the question. So when I put the question up on the forum, I kind of posed it like this. You know, what makes a role-playing game? Is it upgradable stats or customizable equipment? We had upgradable stats and customizable equipment in Rainbow Six Vegas and Grawl 2. Optional party members that you can gather, we had those in Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. Decisions we make that can affect the outcome of the narrative, we had those in Splinter Cell Conviction. So I just kind of threw out a couple of games that you don't generally think of as role-playing games to see what people thought. So anyway, Suspense 13, also known as King in Yellow, also known as Yummy Bacon, also known as Andy Barker PI. It changes his gamer tag about every 3 months to keep the feds off him. He says, I think being able to upgrade your stats and choose how you want your character to develop, full stop. BioShock and Skyrim, yes. Rainbow Six, no. So he doesn't think Rainbow Six belongs in the genre. And I agree. Corzan says, always believe that a real RPG is based on a hit point and magic point system and also turn-based fighting. So he's more along the game mechanics. What about the traversing of open maps and worlds and the random encounters / battles? Even though the majority of new RPGs do not use these rules, many do still use the HP system, but it seems that the turn-based fighting has almost disappeared. I know the Final Fantasy series still use these rules, albeit the fighting tends to be more fluid and active, but it still works on turn-based rules. Well, that is how I always remember RPGs. I grew up playing the Phantasy Star series on the Mega Drive, as well as Final Fantasy on the PlayStation, and that was how they all were. Well said, Jeff.
Well said.
Pudlight Mark says, for me, the most important thing that makes an RPG is a compelling story and characters. If I'm going to play a role in this world, I need to be able to customize my character's looks, fighting style, and upgrades. Great RPGs also add decisions that affect the ending and give you multiple possible endings. I'm noticing a theme here. Everyone's experience should thus be slightly different in this story, depending upon how you played it and customized. And he ends it with, what RPGs don't have is multiplayer. Maybe. JSS, like pirates are work for his show. Mark 035 says, isn't it more of a case of other game types borrowing game mechanics that have historically been associated with RPGs? One thing that most RPGs do have that most of the games mentioned is the ability to free roam, at least to some degree, and complete side quests and random encounters that may augment the story, but are not essential to it. And then Steve-O-Matic says, I thought about this, but instead of a long expository on the acronym RPG versus the inferred definition of RPG, I'll go with the age-old line used in reference to adult films. I can't define it, but I know it when I see it. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Spock says, seems like most of us in the thread have got the right idea. My thinking goes back to the old days when most people didn't have personal computers. You'd invite some friends over and either set the board on the bed or a card table or the dining table if your mom didn't object and get out your multi-sided dice. I believe dice by definition are multi-sided. I think what he means is more than six. Anyway, I digress.
I think he also means die. That's the plural of dice.
Maybe he only had one, dude. I mean, not everybody has all that money.
Oof. First world problems.
First world problems, exactly. I can't afford a 36-sided die of fate. Anyway, I digress. Some would even go so far as to put on their wizard hat and cape. I knew none of these people. Then someone would be the dungeon master and set up the scene. The rest would select a type of character with respective traits, and then we'd take turns rolling dice and explaining how we interact with the various creatures and environments. You'd have a set structure, but you were allowed to develop your character over time in a way that you choose. I think that video games just keep this original essence are RPGs. An example of a hybrid is Mass Effect 2. Many folk were turned off by it becoming more of a shooter. However, when I got Mass Effect 1, I didn't finish it because I felt bogged down by all the stopping to upgrade a weapon or augment armor or distribute points. I just wanted to get out there and do stuff. I really liked the change in Mass Effect 2 so much that I went back and finished Mass Effect 1 so I'd have a character to import. It's like having a little me existing in this cool universe. I'm sort of living an alternate life in a fantasy world. May want to seek therapy. But I did start to appreciate the extra layers on my second pass through Mass Effect 1. Another example is Fallout New Vegas. I had not understood what I was getting into, and at first I just scavenged everything I could hold, but after a while I found that there were so many items that were needed to craft and develop into other things. I really didn't know how to do that, so eventually I quit trying and just took items and sold them to merchants for money. Seems like money doesn't weigh anything. I'm taking the same route in Skyrim now. I can see there's a whole other level of gaming beyond fighting and questing. It is just that I'd rather go do stuff in the world. I know that making and upgrading things, especially smithing and alchemy, can give you tools and attributes that really make a difference, so I'll probably do some of that, but mostly I don't. But maybe I'll start another playthrough where I focus on doing these things instead of fighting and questing. And that choice, having the option to play as shallow or deep as you like, is the essence of the modern role-playing game. Congratulations, sir. I confer upon you your master's degree of role-playing game theory. That's it.
Okay. That was good. It's good stuff. All right. We've got some emails. So, Mr. Webster, why don't you fire up the first email from Mr. Mark Wright?
Yeah, this email was sent in from Mr. Mark Wright, else known on the interwebs as Mark Annex. He says, good evening, chaps. Firstly, it's nice to hear on Twitter that Mr. Webster will be on tonight's show, so can't wait to download it. Shame you can't make it onto more episodes, Rich. You're the best out of all of these. I don't know why they even carried on without you. You should do your own podcast and just call it Richard's Shots. Oh, thanks, mate.
Aww.
Cheers. Right, so I have been working on my New Year's resolution diligently the past month and a bit, and I have cleared a couple of games now. I have finished Assassin's Creed Brotherhood and Revelations. The past week or so, I have been finishing off the fantastic Mass Effect 2. Last night, I finished my last loyalty mission, and I now have the IFF Reaper to allow me to do the final mission. I have done all the side missions I possibly can, and just hope I'm prepared enough to bring the whole crew back. That's the feeling I got when I was playing Mass Effect 2, like the two or three times I went through it. You've got to try, you cram it all in, right? I need to be ready. Before I do that IFF shit, everyone needs to be friends, and I need to have all the shit and all the scrap, and I need to... This is my favorite store on the Citadel. All that shit.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite shirt on the Citadel. There's a t-shirt on thinkgeek.com that says that I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite shirt on the Citadel. I thought that was quite funny.
Ace.
It's good stuff.
A warning, Mark. If you're playing on Insane, tie your controller to your wrist so you don't throw it across the room as you go through the Reaper IFF mission. That's all I'm saying.
Spoiler alert. We should have done a show about Mass Effect just for that, you know, for Mike.
I told him that mission was hard. That's not really a spoiler.
Just a 5-second show. I know Greg has... hold on. This leads me on to something else which I saw today. The Mass Effect 3 Take Earth Back full trailer. It's 3 minutes and 10 seconds of jaw-dropping sex-wee goodness, and I just can't wait. The quality and production value of that trailer is outstanding, Marines. I've purposely not tried the Mass Effect 3 demo yet until I finish Mass Effect 2, but I hopefully, by the weekend, I will have had a go. I know Greg has seen the trailer. Have the rest of you guys seen the trailer yet? What are your thoughts and or comments on it?
It is just pure goodness.
It is delicious.
Yeah, it really sets up the game nicely.
There's no spoiler if you play the demo. Just play the demo.
See, I'm avoiding the demo as well because I saw a lot of Mass Effect 3 shit at Comic-Con or whatever it was where, BioWare went and they had all those co-op trailers and stuff. I don't know.
Okay.
Have a great show, chaps, and speak to you soon, Mark. Thanks, Mark.
Yes, thank you, Mark.
Cheers, mate.
All right, Mr. Primrose.
Yes.
Time for you to earn your keep.
Yes. Kev Knight, he sent a email. He said, "Hi guys, just want to say thank you to Greg for the link to the Viva Pinata song last week."
You like Viva Pinata?
Get your guitar out, Rich. Did you send that to Stu as well?
No, I did not send the link to Stu. I just sent it to Kevin. I thought he would appreciate it a little bit more than Stu.
Okay.
I can't believe that after 156 episodes and hearing that song about 35 times, people are only now just starting to ask for links. What's going on?
Yep.
Well, Kevin technically didn't ask for the link. He actually asked for us to play it again, but because so many people were like, "No, not again," I just couldn't do it.
Do you like Viva Pinata?
I sent him the link. But we're going to have you keep singing the song all through the rest of the show.
I'll do it.
It's good.
Just nice.
Right, continue on, Rich. Sorry.
Yeah, so he says he saved the link and he's going to convert it into a ringtone for his phone. So he's a hardcore chili grower. Hope you guys are well and haven't eaten too many pancakes. Rich is still awake and Rich Webster is enjoying his guest appearance. I've not played much this week. Fired up SSX demo today and really enjoyed it. The retro feel of the game, already trying to beat friend scores and times. The DNO is quick. That's Dino. Can't wait for it to hit the shops. Anyway, mustache to make Lisa some pancakes. Wake up, Rich! Lisa is a lovely lady. It's her birthday today, so many happy returns.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for that, Kevin. And moving on, Parsnip Nose 3000 sent in a kind of lengthy email for him this week. It says, "Hey, peeps, just wanted to thank you for picking my name out of the 100 Microsoft Point contest. It was a lovely surprise. However, I would like to put those points back into the prize bank and offer them to whoever can come up with the best limerick about any current Gate member, and you guys can choose the winner." So we were thinking about this, and we thought, well, that's a great contest. But, Chris, I think maybe we should up the ante on just maybe more than just 100 points. What do you think?
It is a great idea, and it's very nice of Mr. Nose to send his points back to us. But I'm going to chuck in a download code for Dirt 3, to up the ante. Now, a proviso, it is a Steam code for Dirt 3. Well, it's a code that will get you a Steam code for Dirt 3. It's all very secret stuff. But yeah, for PC gamers, if you want to play Dirt 3, you can get a free download of it if you make up a limerick about another member of the forum and we think it's funny.
Yeah, we do have to think it's funny. Just, you know.
Please try to keep it PG-13.
Yeah.
Try not to take the piss too much as well, because some people are quite sensitive to when you take the piss out of them, like Rich.
I foresee a lot of about us.
Yeah, so do I. This really will, it's not going to end well for us. I can almost pretty much tell you that right now.
Tears will be shed.
All right, well, speaking of tears being shed, let's move on with this email. Now, the question for each of you. What is your most favorite weapon in a video game ever?
BFG.
BFG is not bad. It says, for me, I think it's the Barrett 50 cal we use so frequently in Gra/Gra 2.
That's kind of a BFG.
Yeah, it is. It is a pretty BFG. I think mine's the Halo rocket launcher. From Halo 3. I love the rocket launcher in that game.
Why the Halo 3 rocket launcher versus the Halo 2 rocket launcher with the lock-on?
Because I had the most fun playing with the Halo 3 rocket launcher in all the customizable games, and I never really got into Halo 2 multiplayer, so I didn't really experience it that way.
Okay.
So that's why.
What about the fuel rod cannon in Halo 3, which was like a rocket launcher, but more rounds?
I suppose.
Yeah, that was good.
But, you know, I guess I just kind of always, I mean, the rocket launcher to me, it just was a staple.
All right. Rocket launcher it is.
You know, rocket races with the mongooses. I mean,
yeah,
so much fun. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm changing mine.
Races in Halo Reach. Those are exciting.
I'm sorry, Mr. Webster, you were changing your vote?
I'm to the fat man.
No, you're not allowed. Sorry. BFG for you. You're not allowed.
But it's so 8-bit.
Mike, did you have a favorite gun? Are you still awake, Mike?
Yeah, I'm still awake. Like, ever? Is this the favorite gun ever?
Yeah, kind of ever. You should make it, like, really mundane, like the pistol in, I don't know.
Call of Duty.
You know what? I do like the pistol in Half-Life. I know that sounds silly. Is that silly?
Crowbar?
Nah, crowbar's stupid. I tell you what gun I really do like in Half-Life is the one, I know it's not supposed to just be Half-Life, but you know it's like a pulse cannon thing.
Okay.
And it's used with the energy balls.
Yeah, love that.
Yeah, it's a good gun.
It's a good gun. That's all, pick that one.
Because you can pick the energy ball back up, can't you? You can like, absorb it back in. Class.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
I think I know the answer to this for Primrose already, but it is weapon, favorite weapon. Doesn't have to be a gun. Primrose, what about you?
I'm not saying Drake's or Greg, just to bait you. No, I want to cast your minds back to arcade game, Salamander. I don't know if anybody ever played it. There used to be one of the pickups you used to get in that was a beam laser. And there's one level where you had to go through an asteroid field with it, and it used to cut through them like butter. It was awesome.
Like butter.
Like butter.
Like butter. It was so nectar homing. What? That's what I used to talk like back in the arcade days.
All right, moving on. He says, what I loved about the 50 cal is the ability to take out virtually any vehicle. Oh, sorry. Mr. Matthew, we did skip over you. Tell us your favorite weapon.
Freaking...
No, just say it. Just say it. Come on.
What?
I don't know. What? So what?
My initial boyish inclination is to say the lightsaber from any Star Wars game, but no game has ever truly been able to capture the awesomeness that is the lightsaber.
Hey, so, wait till that Kinect Star Wars game comes out.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll bet that one's going to do it. That's going to do it for sure.
That's it. That's the one.
So since we were on the subject of Mass Effect 2 today, and that's what's fresh in the forefront of my mind, I'm going to go with the Singularity Generator from Mass Effect 2, the downloadable gun that you got for pre-ordering from GameStop. Not because it was all that great, except for the one mission that we were just talking about that was really hard. I would not have finished that mission on Insanity without that weapon. So I'm going to go with that one.
Pro tip, y'all.
I just remembered something. I still haven't played the DLC. I bought all the DLC for Mass Effect 2. I still haven't played it.
You don't play the good games, Mike.
I don't.
How long
no.
was Fallout 3 wrapped? Fallout New Vegas come out probably.
Mate, a good 6 months before I got into Fallout 3.
That's what I mean. I don't know.
What's the matter with me?
I don't. I think you have one of those lives. You have one of those live things.
A lot.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Let's finish up this email. Many a time we found ourselves pinned down by a helicopter or some kind of heavily armored vehicle, only for one of our snipers to render it harmless with his trusty beret. He says, those were the days, so what about you? All right, so we covered that, but he did throw in and almost forgot. It says, one, plasticine and Play-Doh are two different things. I had plasticine when I was a child in the 70s. Yeah, we know it was longer than that. He says, my kids had Play-Doh in
You're
the 90s.
Old is what Greg is saying.
Plasticine was firmer and smelled horrible.
Greg's just jealous because his toy was a wood-burning kit from the 50s.
It was.
Lol.
Thanks. Number two, I remember Band-Aids being called Elastoplast. I think it may have been an old brand name. We just called them plasters. Number three, regarding different pronunciations. It's easy for you to say. Then I'm surprised CP didn't mention his weekly Friday night racing argument with Marcanix. Every time either of them dared say the word Nissan. I'm guessing Marcanix says it differently.
Well, Nissan.
Nissan.
Well, see, you say it more like I say it, Rich, with Nissan. But Marcanix says it with the hard I, the Nissan.
Nissan.
Nissan. Nissan. Yeah. It's very different than the way I pronounce it. Whatever. Potato, potato.
Yeah. Oh, that along with taco or coyote. Does he say taco?
No. Taco.
Yeah, it's a taco.
I think they say something like taco or
no. We say taco. We say
taco.
We say oh, what's that's not a crumpet. That's what we say.
How do you guys say coyote?
Coyote.
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 He does point out that these are words he takes great steps to avoid, so clearly he's wiser for it. Alright, that does it for the question of the week. So, question for show 157. CPM, I think you should probably kind of flesh this one out since you thought of it.
No, we're just going to leave it. The people who know will answer it. The people who don't will scratch their heads. The question of the week for next week is Williams or Lawson, you know.
There you go. Williams or Lawson.
Hank Williams or Nigel Lawson. You decide.
Exactly.
Who would you bump?
But, Chris, I do need you for two more
things,
actually.
Yeah, you do. How does it feel to need, whore?
What?
Exactly. All right, play dates. So, starting in about a few hours, if you're listening to this podcast when it's available for download, at 9 p.m. East, we're going to have the a little co-op night with Iron Brigade, or formerly known as Trenched. And also at the same time, the Lousy at Gaming community will be having a Rainbow Six Vegas 2 night hosted by Mudda Trucker. So look her up if you want to play a little bit of Rainbow Six Vegas 2. Thursday, the 23rd of February, Left 4 Dead 2 or Team Fortress 2 on the PC, hosted by...
By some guy.
Yeah, this is podcasting at its finest.
Now I'm hosting a bit of a Valve night on Thursday. No one's going to show up.
Hosted by Richard Webster. Your Steam ID is...
Is Big Bad Daddy with a 1 instead of an I in Big, because I'm cool.
Right.
Cool.
So look for Big Bad Daddy with a 1 instead of an I.
Yeah.
Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, Forza Motorsport 4. Simultaneously, Womble Mark 3 will be hosting a Halo Reach custom game night. So if you want to get your rocket on, Greg DeLacy, there you have it. Saturday, starting at 1 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Gross Mountain Time, and 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, or what I prefer to think of it as Parsnip Nose Time, David the Alien is hosting Battlefield 3. And at 3 p.m. Eastern, the Formula One 2011 championship continues. Sunday, Formula One 2011 again.
Sunday. I think Saturday might just be an F1 2011 night, not
just a random event. Night.
Yeah.
Okay. And also Sunday, 4 p.m. East. I believe that is week 7 of the Minis tournament. So if you want some Forza 4 Minis tournament racing good times, it will be had at that time. And also on Sunday, big day Sunday, the veteran gamers will be playing Battlefield 3 at 6 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time, which is 1 p.m. East and 10 a.m. On the left coast. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for letting me know what time church is in Ugandan time. Happy birthday this week to Major Chavez, Rogue One UK. Happy birthday. And welcome to the new members, Inf the Bro, INF the Bro, which is Marcanic's son, Jay. So welcome.
Oh, very cool.
And L. Hurst, welcome to the site. And that brings us to a little bit of cleanup from last week. I got
a major cleanup from last week.
kind of a cleanup of a major foobar from last week. I got a private message from Spock who said, "Hey, what the deuce, man? Why didn't you read out my poem?" And I wrote him back and said, "What are you talking about?" And he directed me to the forum where several people posted entries that we neglected to read last week. So apologies to those who posted entries in the forum last week. Those are from Nick Nitrous, and this is edited for radio. He says, here's my entry. I basically changed a few words to the greatest football chant ever. It says, screw them all, Locust, Scourge, General Ram 2, we are the Gears, we are the best, we are the Gears, so screw all the Locusts. All right.
Go Vikings.
Radio edit. I apologize if I've destroyed the artist's original intent. Deal. And Spock says, I imagine Skyrim will be the current most fave game of the moment, so I'll try concocting verses for my previous fable right, Deus Ex Human Revolution. You can call it a prequel before the sequel, ain't got no one to trust. It's my girl Megan Reed, what's her feed? David Seraph, wannabe sheriff, thinks he ain't nobody's equal. MCB and DRB, man, I tell you, they are fading. I ain't got time to play those punks because Illuminati is running this party. But they keep asking what set I'm a-claiming. I'm going to go aggro in this bordello. The hive cards will never let me. Roll up in the club, hit up Bubba Bow, get my bar tab mission and blow. I got to take on Barrett the Bull, Yelena and Nemer. Boy, my plate is full. So off to the limb clinic to get all the best augments, or maybe I'll just chill in my apartment. I think I butchered that. I'm sorry, Spark. I'll be your spy boy, Malik, because you, my fly girl, boo. We gonna bust up Ty Young Medical and get You know, I shouldn't be able to read this because I... not things that are written in not proper English drive me crazy. Anyway, whatever. Get Zo Yoon Ru. I think that's the one. I can save on my health by using stealth. I don't need to head in guns all blazing. I just persuade Hugh Darrow his view is too narrow, and I don't give a damn about his wealth. So there's my mission. I'm in this position, and it's only going to get worse. Won't have time to think. Got to find the missing link, and that is the end of my composition.
Oh, man, it was so fly. Oh, respect,
so that was very well written by Mr. Spock.
Yes.
A lot of nice rhythm to it, a lot of nice rhyming. I butchered it, I apologize. But that's why you were supposed to submit an MP3, because then there's no butchering done by me. Right?
True. Very true.
Winner?
Very true. I think I have to go with Spock.
Yeah, I think yeah. Any objections?
Is he winning something from this then?
The U.S. copy of Dark Souls that we had to...
Woo!
Yeah.
Heavy. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. So congratulations, Mr. Spock. You are now the proud owner of a copy of Dark Souls.
Yeah.
PM me your mailing address, and I will get it off to you directly.
Well deserved. Good work, good sir.
Yes, well deserved. And again, we apologize for the minor foobar, but hopefully we've made up for it.
So we will be getting one more little tidbit from Ender837. He's actually going to record us a song. And I explained to him that he missed the deadline. He said, well, it's cool. I'll just record it and send it to you anyway. So we might have it for the break song when he sends it to us.
Okay, excellent. I would welcome that. And, you know, kind of going back to last week.
I love it if he does a cover version of Viva Pinata.
That would be
hilarious.
But Gang of Crimes, don't think we've forgotten about you. I'm still working on doing a little something for you, because that song, even though you didn't win, is deserving of a little something. So I'm secretly working with elves and people known as Richard Primrose and trying to work something out for you.
Richard Primrose is an elf.
He is. He really is. All right.
He's also a dungeon master. Not a lot of people know that.
I'm a level 7 vegan. I don't need anything to cast a shadow.
Simpsons. The Simpsons. It's the episode where Lisa falls in love with that guy with the hippie ass. Got it. Sweet.
Well done. Speaking of well done, the show is almost done, but we have a community spotlight to play, so we're going to play that right now.
We are.
Yeah.
Hello, peeps. This is Parsnip Nose 3000 with the latest weekly community spotlight. This week, I want to mention DeSaint 502 for his new Forza car painting challenge. He'll be suggesting a theme for a paint job, and the community members get to vote on who wins the prizes for the best jobs. Paint jobs, that is, in case you're thinking something else. His first theme is to recreate your favorite car, or the car you always aspired to own. So, what are you waiting for? Bugger off and paint something, but finish listening to the podcast first. So that's it from me for another week, and over to Greg in the studio.
It's a professional.
Over to me, I know.
We've so got to get a bed of 1920s newsreel music underneath his voice.
I know.
Circus America and all the Simpsons. See, let's go to piss. that's
all right.
I forgot to mention that. Yeah, that's a cool little competition that Mike's running. So, just mention there.
Might have to dabble. All right, let's wrap the show up. So, if you're going to send us an email,
ocpodcast@gmail.com.
You are good, Chris. Yep, you are good. And if you were going to send us a tweet, Mr. Primrose,
@OC_podcast.
Awesome. And Mike, if you lived in the United States and you were thinking about calling into the show and leaving us a voicemail, or you were filthy rich or posh, as you Brits would like to say, and you didn't care about the fees that you were going to get for calling our voice line, what number would you use to call?
Well, Greg, you would call, if you're in America, you could call the number 626-506-2763 or 626-50-OC-POD. If you're in the UK, you can use the 001-626-506-2763 if you're mega rich or don't care about being charged. Or use somebody else's phone.
Even better. Go grab your significant other's phone.
Yeah.
Put it on her line. All right. Zune and iTunes reviews, of course, we still welcome them, and we reward them.
Yeah.
Kind of craziness.
Yeah.
We're bribing people. I like it.
Yeah, bribe.
Professional journalism at its best.
It is. All right. Chris, start off the show. Chef, I can't even talk.
Yeah,
I'm tired.
Man.
This podcast has just killed me.
The first shout out is to the Facebook fan of the week, Miss Kim Woods, who I believe goes by GamerGirl27. She seems to be winning this a lot, which means the other fans aren't out there posting on our Facebook wall, so get to Facebook and check us out. All right. And I'm going to shout out Shinyverse Steve-O-Matic, Lucky Irish Guy, and Hellhead Whiplash, who is forever known as Silent Dave, for joining me in Halo Reach last night. We had some good times, played a little bit of Firefight, played a little bit of Invasion. It was good times. As I said at the top of the podcast, I'm trying to rank up there. So every Monday at 9 p.m. East, I'm going to be doing some Halo Reach if you want to jump in there and join in. Richard Webster, go.
Sponge Cake, and I want to shout out Kim Woods. Hi, Kim. That's my favorite name, Kim. Thanks for posting on...
Don't let your girlfriend hear this.
thanks for posting on our Facebook. I want to shout out you guys for welcoming me back on the show for a special treat for the ears and for me, because I had nothing else to do in this lonely flat all on my own. Kim. And just shout out everybody in the Gate community and all those people that, the RPG community, who don't know what they're talking about because RPGs don't exist anymore because everyone stole them. Mike, go.
I haven't got really any kind of shout-outs, real shout-outs that are actual people, because I don't know anyone. But I will shout out a show on Channel 4, which is a channel for the Americans, right, but you can get it on 4OD as well. It's called The Hotel, and basically what this is a fly on a wall documentary, and it's made by the same people who made One Born Every Minute. They're a very good production team there, and they make great shows with a lot of heart and a lot of comedy in them. So don't be put off that it's just a fly on the wall show, because it's great. It's called The Hotel. It's basically Fawlty Towers meets The Office, but real. The main guy is pretty much David Brent, but in running a hotel. It's fantastic.
For real?
I might have to watch that.
It is. I mean, it's just so pathetically British, you know. And if anybody's seen a sitcom called Phoenix Nights, he basically hosts kind of parties and shows and discos that are pretty poor by Brian Potter's standards. So it's very funny. So if anybody wants to watch that, I highly recommend it. I love it. It's one of the best things I've seen on TV currently, plus the only thing I'm watching on TV currently, because I don't watch much TV. So boom. Who hasn't done a share yet? You, Greg, I guess?
Me and Primrose.
Right, I'll do Primrose, because Greg, you're the host. So Primrose, go.
Yeah, I'll just shout out Exempt Mr. Fish, who, whilst we've been speaking on this podcast, has been sending me tips and tweets about how to get a co-op game going in Dark Souls.
Oh, dear God.
Yes, it's still there. Shout out to Adam Adamowicz, who was a key artist from Bethesda, who unfortunately died recently, and I was just reading an article about some of the stuff and the inspiration and stuff that he provided to the rest of people making that game over the course of the years, and apparently a lot of the writers used to go in there late at night and just look at his walls completely covered in drawings and get ideas for what they were going to be doing with the storylines and everything, and it must have been quite awe-inspiring for him to know that he was doing all of the artwork for that one game. And, yeah, cool. And also, shout-out to AP Stevens, who's sent me an e-book of his book.
Very nice.
Yeah, I want to have a read of that. Promised that I'm going to start reading some more books, so I'm going to read that. And last shout-out goes to all the people that have been talking today about Eurogamer. Because the tickets...
You had lots of talk.
Yeah, the tickets are going out in the next few days, and there's already a little posse forming of who's going to meet up down there. So, yeah. Filthy, Mark Davis...
Pete texted me today, saying, are you going to Eurogamer? And I was like, I don't know, why are you asking me this now?
Yeah, so. I think Pete's going
Start
with... IP's on about going up with Knife Party, Mark Davis, and should have a bit of a mob this year if everybody's talking about it this early. Yeah, cool.
Good times.
Sweet.
Greg, go.
Yeah, for me, it's real simple. Big shout out to Pixar. We picked up the Toy Story trilogy.
Oh, yeah.
Love those movies.
Yeah, they're great.
We're prepping. I should maybe shout out Disney on Ice, too, because we're going to go see the Disney on Ice Toy Story experience.
Sweet.
Oh, yeah. Son's going to love that.
Be good.
Yeah. And that's it, guys.
All right.
I think this is a show. I think we can put a bow on this and say 156 in the books. By the way.
Long.
And that's the end.
This mess doesn't deserve a bow.
No, it does. Because, as pointed out, I believe by Shinyverse in the forums... Technically, this would be 3 full years. 156 divided by 3.
Madness.
3 full years of weeks of game podcasting. It is madness. Craziness.
We started Didn't we start this in 2008? No, we didn't, did we? It was 2009. It was 2009. Fuck
it. It was the summer of that, you know, that heat wave in Missouri. Do you remember?
Yep, yeah, I remember. And there was a bird outside my window, yeah, chirping away happily. It's dead now.
There was a podcast that constantly kept saying "fuck Dave." That was going
on.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Remember that? Speaking of that, Big Smooth, I talked to him the other day, or exchanged emails, I should say. Yeah. He's still around. Still listens to us once in a while.
Yeah, we play fax. We play chess by fax.
I don't even want to say how that came across at first, but yeah. On that note, now we really can officially end the show. Happy anniversary, guys.
Wait, yeah.
You play chess by the fax machine?
Yeah, it takes a long time.
Holy 1800s, Batman. Yeah.
Greg, we told Rich I am pleased he's here, please.
Mr. Webster.
Yes.
Mr. Chin is pleased you are here, and Mr. Matthew has just informed us that he is on his way, princess.
Ah. Well, if you could tell Mr. Chin for me that I am pleased that he is pleased, which makes him pleased, and makes me pleased to make him pleased, and he pleases me for it.
A lot of pleasing.
I'm sure. Mike, I'm sure that. He would love to please you for it.
All right, Mike. According to Mr. Webster, he is pleased. You're pleasing that he's pleasing. Pleased.
That's not what he said, Greg.
On which of the major platforms will Mass Effect 3 be available for digital download day one?
PC.
For the same price as retail.
I didn't ask for your lip, Greg. I just asked a fucking question.
Oh, I love that English accent there.
It's like a bit of a Geordie there.
Pretty good.
Fuck Jukes. That's proper English.
Hear that?
Beep though. Didn't beep.
Is it the talk and I beep and the beep and the talk? I don't know.
Oh, I'm gonna get him tonight. I'm going to get Greg tonight. Greg's going to get me tonight. Hey,
Greg.
Come on, Greg.
Yeah. What the hell is going on?
Well, yeah, the Williams versus Lawson thing is kind of throwing me there. I don't understand.
Nobody?
Sounds like one of your federal cases.
Ashley Williams, Miranda Lawson, Mass Effect 1, Mass Effect 2. No.
Oh, no. I can get on board with that.
Then someone would be the dungeon master instead
Hello.
Of
Hello. Thank you for calling. No one is currently available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone.
Wow.
What?
Rich dumped off the call. Hang on.
Why did she say that shit?
Because it was trying to ring him back.
Three.
It's better than what I thought he said, which was we play fuck.
Yeah.
That's not going to be
good. I know, I don't know the rules, but... 3 years we've been going. Yeah. Me and Greg are the only original cast.
Oh, here you go. Here you go.
And,
I've been here the whole time. Hey. I'm so much better than you.
I don't think Webster, Christopher Matthew and Primrose have the right, really, to claim this anniversary.
If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Real are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
Then, of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.